Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to say.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face. And then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we're here tonight, thankfully. It seems like Blog Talk Radio finally decided to get their act together and let us do a show. But I've already got several people on the phone. I've got one from 743 who's got his hand raised. I will get to your phones after a little bit. From Breitbart, they were talking about Vice President Kamala Harris completing her coup against President Joe Biden on Thursday night when she addressed the Democratic National Convention, the dysfunctional gathering of Democrats in Chicago, Illinois. Harris's address capped a month-long whirlwind since the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in July, in the immediate aftermath of which Biden dropped out of the presidential race post-debate disaster after weeks of hanging on, forcing Democrats to quickly rally around Harris, who has been installed like a toilet. She wasn't voted in. She was just installed. But the sense of euphoria has swept up Democrats in Harris's first month atop the ticket. Throughout speeches and messages at the DNC, top Democrats, not Harris, but top Democrats have consistently warned their party they are not, in fact, winning this election and have serious work to do if they really want to stop Republican nominee former President Donald Trump. In fact, Waltz himself admitted Democrats were losing the election in his short speech on Wednesday, making the football analogy to say Democrats were down, field goal in the fourth quarter with the football and chance to score. So now all the attention shifts to the top of the ticket. Is Kamala Harris capable of a Tom Brady-esque comeback victory, or is she going to choke in the moment when the spotlight is on her? I think she will actually choke. But tonight, the event last night, like the rest of the DNC so far, will be tightly scripted, so the answers to those questions will not emerge when she talks. But what they did on the last night, putting Joe Biden in there as late as they did, I saw some pretty hilarious headlines. One of them from I keep wanting to say New York Times, but it's I think it was the Washington Post, where the headline said they had pushed his speech back so far that it was well beyond his bedtime. And there was so much that he actually said that you could really count on. He got angry. He got vicious. He yelled, he screamed, he did all kinds of things. He had to be on some kind of drug. But it was funny. And I just couldn't imagine a better way to end that train wreck that we saw, or well, didn't see, heard about, because I know I didn't watch much of any of it. I heard a lot from Bongino and several other people that talked about what had happened there. I have a person who's already got his hand raised up. It's from the 743 area code. I have no idea who this is. Hello, welcome to the show. Let us know who you are.
It's me, Robert. It's Joe Gibson.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry about that.
You got just... another number, you sneaky you got... guy.
I tricked you.
Yes, you did.
We are looking forward to like a troll calling in and being like, you know, can you bend over and kiss your own ass? You know,
yeah,
remember that guy?
That. I could have done that. You know, I could have really did that, but I said, nah, I better not, you know. I'm not like that. But like some people, we won't mention any names. But
Yeah.
What's going on, Robert? What's the word?
Oh, I actually didn't have much of anything except for that to talk about. We had Robert Kennedy Jr. suspending his campaign, and he's back.
Oh, he did? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He suspended his campaign, and he backs
rally.
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, he backed Trump for his background. Then he's gotten backlash from his family for doing that.
Really?
So that's,
that's been like all over Twitter. Because Trump brought him on stage at his rally, and he said he's not ending his campaign. He's just temporarily suspending it, but he's endorsing Trump. And so that's all over Twitter right now. That's the big news.
Well, you know, they have to do that in the Board of Elections or like when they're like with their ballots, they have to suspend it. Otherwise, then their campaign finances and everything, they can't collect donations anymore. They can't collect, you know what I mean? So that's what I say, suspend, you know?
Yeah. Yep. But he went ahead
absolutely.
He went ahead and endorsed Trump, which was I think it took some people by surprise, especially his family. I guess a lot of them have come down on him for that. But one of the things that happened, it was on Tuesday night, the far left, a pro-abortion Democrat governor, the evil Michelle Lujan Grisham, gave her best shot at an attempt to headline health care issues, which, folks, we have to get this straight. Abortion is not health care. It is murdering a child, and that is all there is to it. But she apparently wants to be the potential Kamala Harris regime in the potential Kamala Harris regime come 2025. Her significant focus on an abortion up to birth policies and wooing doctors from pro-life states to come kill babies in the womb in pro-abortion states like New Mexico. Now, that woman is freaking evil as can be. And some of the things that I saw in that was, you know, some of the comments on that story just were really great. And a lot of them came from New Mexico. There was one person... his name Mario, he says, evil, evil, vile. And did I mention evil? So some of the comments were just absolutely great. One of them says, raising New Mexico to low heights. Some more.
Well, I'm going to challenge Kamala Harris's name on the ballot. You know, I mean, like they did me here, I'm going to challenge it because I'm going to challenge her citizenship. I think everyone should do it in all 50 states. They should file a candidate challenge. You know, and see what happens. I bet they'll blow you off. They'll shut you down. I bet they won't even accept you, you know. But
well,
I'm going to do it this week coming up.
I'll bet you anything, something like that, since shows like this one talk completely against her. And I know Lori Ann does in her show when she talks about her. I that could be a good reason that Blog Talk Radio keeps going down.
I support Kamala. Everybody knows that. Don't lie. BTR, Blog Talk Radio, I am not anti-Kamala, okay? I totally support her. She's the greatest. She's been the greatest VP in history. We love her. I will sacrifice my life for her. Literally.
How is she getting this support? She couldn't even get a delegate during the primaries. You know, how is she getting this support?
We almost have to say that, though, in order for Blog Talk Radio not to shut us down on the weekends.
That's what it appears
I
like.
Know.
I think
I'd really like to do my show on Sunday, so I'm throwing my support behind Kamala. I'll be the lucid Democrat libertarian. Yeah, that's it. I'll be the lucid Democrat libertarian.
Has anyone come out and said that Blog Talk is? I mean, I think that's what's going on. I mean,
I do too.
It's self-evident. What do you think, Robert? I mean, they're shutting down all primetime shows.
Yeah, well, essentially what's going on is the liberal shows are along the week, and the conservative shows and the libertarian shows are on the weekend. Well, when they go down on the weekend, there's nobody there in the offices to do anything about it. So it's down for the whole weekend. I would think that's exactly what they're trying to do. You know, there's a few.
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have 225 on the phone too.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I mean, if you notice, BTR was down during the Trump assassination attempt. BTR was down during the whole entire Republican National Convention. But, boy, they made sure to get back up and running while the DNC is going on, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yes, they did. This is Mike. You know,
hi, Mike.
you look at, we've been largely successful with the abortion issue. Because, I mean, if we hadn't, then they wouldn't try to change the terminology and call it pro-choice. We've been successful in equating the word abortion with murder.
Yep.
You know, and that's why they had to change the terminology to pro-choice, which is basically pro-murder, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah.
That's exactly what the evil governor here said in DOC in the convention. She said, quote, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance want to dismantle our health care system, repeal the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and eliminate protections for pre-existing conditions. This is exactly what she said. And she's
what
such a moron.
Lie.
Exactly.
What an idiot. They keep saying this stuff when all the people on this side of the issue wanted was to bring it back to the states. That's it. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all getting rid of the national thing did was bring it back to the states. Now, you may disagree with what Arizona did with that law that they went back from the 1860s, but that was the Arizona Supreme Court saying, we're just going to enforce the law that's already on the books.
Well, you know,
well,
that's the thing that really amazes me.
Go ahead, Robert, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. That's the thing that really amazes me, you know, that when Trump did that, he moved it back to the – when the Supreme Court did that, they moved it back to the states. Well, you would think that – a moron like MLG would think, well, hell, it's in my state now. I can do what I want. But she's going off all over the place. Now, she declared, despite that not being the case, you know, despite not what she had said not being the case, she continued to say that she said either these guys don't get it or they just don't care. And she was referring to Trump and Vance, despite Trump lowering health care costs for Americans by lowering premiums and drug costs and giving veterans a choice in their health care decisions. She went on to say, you know who gets it? Kamala Harris gets it, and she cares. She says, do you know what Donald Trump delivered? Junk plans, higher premiums, and abortion plans, she claimed. And that goes completely against what had actually happened. But, you know, we have them saying these kind of things right out in front of a microphone, thinking that everybody's going to believe them and thinking that nothing's ever going to happen. But something's got to happen to these people who will come out and say, you know, things that are completely wrong, completely untrue, you know, saying that abortion is health care, oh, my God, that is, you know.
Well, how can they go on the economy? They go on the economy with on the attack saying Trump screwed up. I mean, how could they attack, stand on any type of economy issues whatsoever? I just don't get it. The economy sucks. It sucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, it's like right now it's we're coming up before the election. Gas prices here in New Mexico have been kind of like on a roller coaster ride. It's right now they hit $2.95 at some of our some of the gas stations I go to, but I'll rest assured next week they'll be back up at $3.40, $3.50 again.
Yeah, they do that. They play that game. Yep. Obama did the same thing. Yep. Gas prices went real low when it was election time. You know, I think he even got it down to like $1. I think that 75, I remember, during election time. Then it shot back up, you know?
Yeah, but what the people got to realize, and it's one of the reasons why I try to do this show and why I listen to Dan Bongino and when I get the chance to come in and listen to Lorianne and you and other shows that are here on Blog Talk Radio, we have to get this word out because there are too many people out here who do not know what the hell is going on and have absolutely no clue about what the government in place is doing because they're lying to us all the time. We never know what the truth is when it comes to them because they won't tell it.
Well, there's too much control. They have too much power and control. It's like in corporations. They have a monopoly on everything. I did a thing on eBay. Now, Lorianne listened to one of them. I did another one, a follow-up one, actually, where I did it on YouTube. I mean, these corporations have too much power. They control everything, you know? I mean, it's insane. And then you call and you can't talk to anybody. If you do get a hold of somebody and you're talking to the Philippines or Uganda, I mean, it's insane. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny, you know, because after she started, Michelle Grisham started talking, she said, touted how Harris claims she will give abortions to any woman who needs it, you know, and that's exactly what our governor here is saying. All you have to do is just come to New Mexico. We'll kill your baby. No problem.
Yeah. Abortion is bad. Yeah, it's murder. It is murder. It's a fact. Look, life starts and when it's a heartbeat. You can detect the heartbeat. You know, that right there, you can deposit. I mean, that's how we declare you're dead at the hospital when your heart stops, you know. So, I just don't understand why people don't understand the concept of this, what abortion really is. It's murder. Whether you're religious or not, it's murder. You know, scientifically, it proves it's murder. But the Democrats, they go nuts over that issue. They go nuts.
Well, one of the things that Lujan Grisham is known for is ramming through a 2021 law that stripped any and all protections for babies, expectant mothers, and healthcare professionals to effectively legalize abortion up to birth and create the possibility for a continuance of infanticide in the land of enchantment. The audition to be Harris's abortion czar was met with applause by the rapidly anti-life audience, which frothed at the mouth at the idea of more kids being killed prematurely. And this is just sick, sick, sick. That is all there is to it.
This whole Kamala Harris is running for president is, how did this guy put it? I don't know. It's not a placeholder. It's just her turn. Okay, she's like Bob Dole. She's like any of these people that were just a placeholder. Oh, that Clinton's like for instance, Bob Dole was was the guy that they put in there because they knew they were going to lose, so they gave it to Bob Dole, right? They were going to lose to Clinton, so they gave it to Bob Dole. This is Kamala Harris. I think they know she's going to lose. And they know that it's going to – they probably also know that even if they do cheat, they have a good feeling. They have a feeling that even with the cheating, the turnout's going to be so high and he's going to get so Trump's going to get so many votes that, you know, cheating may not matter, you know.
Yeah.
They'll
well, you know.
I'm not saying anything they won't. I'm just saying she's a placeholder. Nobody likes her. She's going to lose, you know. And,
well,
I mean,
and
people say you can't. People say you're not supposed to attack her for, you know, you're not supposed to attack her because of how she got in the power. Well, how she got in the power is she got in the power on her knees.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the one thing that nobody really is talking too much about is the fact that they had that abortion truck outside the DNC, and at least 25 babies had been killed. So according to this article that I found, that at least 25 babies were killed in that truck outside the DNC.
It's not just an abortion truck. It's a vasectomy truck, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting both sides in that truck.
Dang.
Or obviously, you know, which is sick.
It is. That's disgusting, man. Abortion, it's just a touchy subject I can't stand talking about because it's disgusting. You know, I just can't see how people can support that type of activity. I just don't understand how you can.
And here's the deal with Kamala Harris. She comes in there at the convention and goes, or before the convention, and says, oh, I'm going to do trying to steal Trump's line. I'm going to do no tax on tips, which is a lie because she's a Democrat and she wants to tax everything, right?
Right.
You know?
Well, she'll say that to get elected.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is Trump, one of Trump's things. He came out with that. And obviously, if Poe saying that, where he said it, I believe, in Las Vegas or something like that, which is a tip-based economy in and of itself. I mean, you wouldn't think of it being a big deal, but think about how many different things are based on tips, not just restaurants, you know, Uber, Lyft, Instacart, taxis, all these different things that are based on tips,
Everything's based on tips. Everything is. Landscaping. My landscape, sometimes people would tip me, you know, anything tips, you know. I mean, but that's really up to the individual and the people that provide the service. Government should not have anything to say or do about it.
Yeah, well, you know, even like where I work at Office Depot, and I work in the print shop. Well, if I give somebody some extra good service, I've been tipped several times. You know, they say, here, you know, I'm not supposed to take them. You know, they say, but here, on the sly, here, have $5.
The reason why they want to tax the tips is because a lot of these people make a ton of money on tips. And then they say, oh, we're trying to squeeze every dollar out of the American people that we possibly can.
Yep.
You know, it's all about the money. I mean, the 300,000, that's part of the 380,000 or whatever the hell it was, number of extra IRS agents that were hired.
Well, you know, it's just no matter how much the government gets, you know, if we allow them to continue to raise our taxes and continue to raise taxes on things that they normally don't get taxes on and continue to get things like money from tips and things like that, they're never going to be satisfied. They get that. They're going to go after something else. They'll find something else that they haven't even thought of yet and start taxing on it.
Kamala Harris has already said that she like 80% tax rate.
Yeah.
You know? That's what she said. She said that.
Yeah. But, you know, behind all that's going to be, even more taxes. If she gets elected, she'll institute that, and then that won't be enough, and she'll want more.
Oh, sure. 100%.
Well, you know, something's got to pay for the, you know, $25,000 for first-time home buyers, you know, by
yeah.
taxpayers, right? Somebody's got to pay for that.
Oh,
oh man, I got some stuff on that to talk on my show here, even locally, but that's a disaster waiting to happen, you know, and, you
some
know,
states already have that.
The down payment is only like 5% or something for first-time home buyers. I mean, if that is actually implemented, we are looking at, like, we're looking at another housing crisis that
mm-hmm.
in unbelievable proportions because, you know, it's going to be incentivizing banks to give these mortgage loans to low-income, you know, people that you know damn well they're not going to be able to afford to make those payments. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, they're going to be foreclosures. You're going to have BlackRock and all these companies buying them up. You know, it's a gift, really, not for the first-time home buyer, but for all these corporations that are going to be buying up all of these
mm-hmm.
houses and then renting them out instead. You know, they're going to take advantage of a foreclosure crisis like we've never seen if that's implemented. It's so stupid to think that
uh-huh.
that's some kind of, you know, bonus for people that, you know, if you can't afford a house with these housing prices the way they are and you can't afford to put a down payment on it, then not to mention, guess who else makes money off of that? The banks. Because
the banks.
When you put a low down payment on a house, then you're financing a higher amount, and then you're paying, you know, you're spending years paying mostly interest and almost nothing toward principal. So they're not gaining
yep.
any wealth. They're not gaining any equity in their home. And so this is, it is, and the banks are the ones that are going to make the money off of it. I mean, it is a scam and people do not want to see it. They're just like, oh, yay, $25,000 for debt payment. Yay, yes, let's do it, rah, rah, rah. Not realizing and thinking forward, you know, how much that's going to shoot them in the foot later on. It's just absolutely appalling to me that people are falling for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the problem is they're falling for all of this free money from government. Well, I hate to break it to them, but where does the government get their money?
Well, they get their money from
exactly.
selling bonds. They sell bonds
yeah, well,
to the Federal Reserve.
They also
you know.
get it from us, too, so... You know, people sit there and think they're getting all this free money from government, and nothing's free. There's a cost somewhere.
Well,
ultimately,
yeah.
everybody
no,
pays
yeah.
the price. You know, it
yeah.
raise the corporate income tax and all that, go after these corporations. Well, guess what? You know, what's going to happen with that? The higher the corporate tax rate means more businesses, more corporations moving their headquarters to other countries that have lower tax
mm-hmm.
rates. That means losing jobs. That means losing revenues. You know, that means stock markets going crazy. You know what I mean? When this happens. And so, you know, that's not bringing jobs back to America. That all that's doing is giving incentives for them to move overseas. And how
oh,
is
yeah.
that going to help us? You know, I mean, it's just people don't think, man. You know, they're, you know, you give them
they
a
don't.
Lollipop now, you know, and they don't realize that, hey, guess what? You can't live off a lollipop, you know?
Well, I mean, it's the whole, everybody knows who Popeye is, right? It's the whole wimpy thing. I'll gladly pay you on Friday for the hamburger I get today.
Yeah.
That's what this is. And the payments never come. That's the thing. The payment, we never see the payments. We never see paying down the debt. We never see, you know, even making a dent in the interest on the debt. They don't care about the debt.
That's for sure. They don't.
What's
because
that
they don't have
quote? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to go ahead. You got my interest.
I was going to say, I think it was Thomas Jefferson. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that has the quote, "The last official act of a tyrant is to loot the treasury." And that's exactly what we're seeing. That's why they don't care about the debt. They'll just keep building it up and building it up. They don't care how many trillions of dollars. Why? Because they're looting the nation. They're looting the treasury. And the bubble will burst. And we're seeing that bubble starting to burst. And it's not going to be pretty.
No.
The $25,000 tax credit. $25,000 tax credit is in some states already, actually. Like in Connecticut, they got the $25,000 tax credit for first-time home buyers. So it's got some states. I don't know how many states that already have it, but I know in my home state, Connecticut, they have it already.
Right. Well, I mean...
Oh, get this. In Oregon, it's even worse. In Oregon, it's even worse, and I wanted to bring it up on my show. In Oregon, they have a government-funded program. So the government is funding this supposed charitable organization and giving $30,000 toward a down payment for first-time home buyers, right? But here's the kicker. It's only for illegal immigrants, only for migrants. You do not qualify for that $30,000 if you're an American citizen. How about them apples?
Yep.
Assholes. That should be right there.
I mean, look,
that should be. That should piss everybody off.
I don't know. I don't know. I said it on another show, but I'll say it here. There was a CNN report where they talked to two different women, right? And they both said this. They both said, "Look, I don't like Trump. I hate him, but I'm going to vote for him." You know?
Yep.
Now, you know, I'm not going to vote for Kamala Harris. I'm going to vote for Trump. I don't like him. I hate him. But things were better under Trump than they were under Biden. That's basically the gist of the thing.
Well,
that's the thing.
I was watching Newsmax yesterday, and they were talking to people outside the DNC, and one guy, this just amazed me, one guy said he hated Trump so much that if it came down to voting for Trump or Kamala, it would always be Kamala. He would vote for a cadaver before he would vote for Trump.
Well, I think he is... That guy is one in a 360 million, you know, because, I mean, there may be more like him. I'm not saying there aren't, but I think they're more like the ladies that I talked about that say, "I hate him, but things were better under him," and, you know, that type of thing.
Well, the thing to look at it, too, is if he did as well as he did with all the stuff that went against him while he was president, he can only be president for 4 years. Somebody else has to come in after that. So, you know, 4 years is not that long in the grand scheme of things. And,
right.
You know, Democrats never just, you know, go home and figure, okay, we'll start this up again as soon as the election season comes around. To them, it's always election season, and they will do everything they can to make sure that if he becomes president, they're already talking about throwing him in prison. You know, just if he makes presidencies, just throw him in prison for his stuff, you know, and even though a lot of the stuff they're talking about, he's already been exonerated for.
You know what I said? I think I said is gonna. There are two things that could happen with this thing. You know, and things have changed because we know that the Bidens are a very vindictive people, right? They hate that they've been pushed off the stage. They hate that they're out of power. They hate the Obamas for doing it to them. You know, so. I mean, think about it this way. We know that this illegal sentence is going to be handed down probably, if not in September next month, probably the guy's going to wait until after the election when Trump wins and then hand it down then. But that's not the point I'm making. The point is there could be a chance that this guy gets a message from Biden and says, drop the sentence. You know, drop whatever you do, don't sentence him. You know, because it's been proven that this whole case was a collusion between him and the Bidens, right? And Biden hates the Obamas, and the Obamas hate Biden, and Obama wants him in jail.
Yep.
They want him in jail, you know? So, you know, I just think that could happen, but I also think it's likely he's going to, at the end of September, he's going to delay the sentencing again until after the election, right? This idiot up there in New York, until after the election, and then when Trump, November 6th, November 7th, whatever, any time after the election happens, he's going to call into his court and he's going to sentence Trump to jail. And I know
yep.
Soros says it's illegal, but when did the Democrats, and unconstitutional, when did the Democrats care about things being illegal and unconstitutional?
Well, they used to. Back when Kennedy was running, they actually did then. But they've sure moved away from that, haven't they?
Oh, yes. And if you saw RFK Jr.'s message, he basically said that in his message today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that, you know, the one person that I had looked at his comments that were on the Pinion Post here after they talked about him dropping out, one of them said that he would make a very good lead for the CIA. And I hope that, you know, if Trump wins this whole thing and it comes down to it, I hope that RFK Jr. is given a good post in his cabinet.
Right, and here's the deal. Trump, at one point in his first term, wanted to release the Kennedy files from both Kennedys, and
yeah.
Somebody told him not to, all right? You know, I don't know why, but they told him not to, so he didn't. Well, I guarantee you, if Kennedy is his CIA director, he's going to tell Kennedy, go ahead and release the files on your dad and your uncle. And
it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Wait a second. Why does he have to have Kennedy as a CIA director to release them? He could have did it anyway. Why are you bringing – that? Just,
well, he really doesn't have to, but I think Kennedy would be a good one.
Yeah. No, he would, but what's that got to do with the Fed Kennedy files, though? I mean, Trump didn't release them. He should have released them. He didn't.
Well,
that's another thing that, you know, strike against him.
Somebody in the CIA at the time told him not to release the files.
And then Trump just obeyed him? I don't know about that. I think Trump does what
he
wants to do.
Just
I don't think he would have,
but I'm
you
not
know.
Sure. I mean, there was something about in those, somebody said there was something in those files about Ted Cruz's dad having something to do with the Kennedy thing or whatever. I don't know, but
that guy, Trepaconte from down the mobster from Florida, he's mm-hmm. the one that organized this hit on Kennedy. Trepaconte,
the guy down in Florida, and then there was a guy up there in. In Chicago that had something to do with
it. Yeah, those were the two guys that did it, yes.
Yep.
The CIA.
Because I remember I saw a movie on this, and one of the guys in New York, you know, one of the mobsters in New York, okay, who did this and who has anything to do with it? And he said, well, this guy in Florida had something to do with it. There was a guy in Chicago that had something to do with it. And there was a guy down in New Orleans.
He made a deathbed confession. He made a confession to his lawyer, Trapiconti, when he was dying. He says, he basically told the whole story. So the lawyer was scared. He didn't know what to do. So, but now it's out. You know, and it makes sense because they tried to whack up Kenneth Castro, too, because of the Bay of Pigs falling apart there, that little stunt. And Trapiconti owned all the casinos in Cuba. And Castro made a deal with Trapiconti, and to help him get in power, and then he reneged on it and put Trapiconti into a Cuban prison. And then what's that guy? The guy that was what the hell was his name? The guy that had something to do with Harvard Oswald's who shot Oswald? What was his name? I forgot his
name.
Anyway,
Jack Ruby.
Huh? Yeah, Jack Ruby went down to Cuba with a bunch of money and paid Castro to get Trapiconti out of prison. So they made that connection. That's how they found out Trapiconti had something to do with the Kennedy assassination. It's pretty crazy, but it's all true. If you look at the links, it makes it look so simple, you know.
Sam Giancana was a guy from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to remember, the mob ran the country. You got to remember, they were powerful people back then. You know, that was serious stuff back then. You know?
Yep. I wonder.
And yet Hoffa was involved with that too. You know, they had a lot of, they killed Hoffa, but
again,
Hoffa had enemies with the Kennedy clan.
Yep. Hoffa, and that's probably what got him killed or whatever, because remember, Hoffa wasn't a good guy, but he wanted to clean up the unions, and that's what got him killed. You know, Hoffa.
Yep. Fucking big money, man. Big money.
Yep, big money. And that's the thing. There are a lot of union guys, not the leaders of the unions, but there are a lot of union workers that are going to vote for Trump. They're not voting for the Democrats. They're going to vote for
the
Trump.
The same people who voted for Trump in 2020 are voting for Trump in 2024. So the same numbers are the same numbers, you know. The bottom line is you got to watch the rigging of the election. If they rig these elections, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm not afraid to say it on this show or any other show from this point on. Let me tell you something. There are groups around this country that will rip this place apart if they pull that crap again. I'm going to tell you right now, you got the 3%ers, you got the Oath Keepers, you got a lot of groups out there that are underground, and they're not underground anymore. They're coming out telling people flat out, you pull this crap again, we got sheriffs on our side and everything, so we're not going to play that shit. They pull that crap again, like they did me too, you know?
Yeah,
yep.
And we shouldn't. And look, they're already planning. This is how important the elections are, the congressional elections are. These people are already planning that if Trump happens to win, but the House and Senate, the Democrats keep the Senate and get the House, they're already planning on challenging these votes the same way Trump was trying to challenge the electors in 2020. You know?
Yeah. Well. Yep. Speaking of election fraud and whatnot, I sent you an email, Robert. I have my case is filed now in United States federal court against Diane Parnell, Stephen Wiley, and the ADL. So I'm suing them, and that's already made the news media. So they're already talking about it. They want to interview me. So, you know, but I'm putting that off for a little while. So because they twist shit around, you know, you can't trust them.
Hey Robert, do we have anybody on Skype?
Yes, we do. We got one, and they're just sitting there listening right now.
Hopefully it's Sarge.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. One of the things that I had noticed in the articles that I had found, one from Newsmax, the headline on it was DOJ, 8 states file antitrust lawsuits over high rents. And I thought this was rather interesting, that the attorney generals of North Carolina, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Minnesota, Oregon, Tennessee, and Washington joined the government in its lawsuit. I thought that maybe New Mexico might too, because we've got some high rents here too, but they didn't join, but Oregon did. Lori, did you hear anything about that?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, it says the antitrust law does not become obsolete simply because competitors find new ways to lawfully act in concert, Garland said, and Americans should not have to pay more in rent simply because a company has found a new way to scheme with landlords to break the law. But it did say that the attorney generals of North Carolina, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Minnesota, Oregon, Tennessee, and Washington were in the lawsuits. So whether the more states will join, I don't know. But I thought that was rather interesting, too. So
yeah, it's a hard case. Yeah, that's a hard case to prosecute. The antitrust laws and being unjustly enriched and stuff like that, those are hard lawsuits. The laws are so hard and convoluted, kind of like the United States copyright laws. It's just a big bowl of spaghetti and nonsense, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I kind of thought you had heard something about it, too, because it's over in your neck of the woods, too.
Yeah, I heard about it. And actually, that's a Democrat move, actually, and I kind of support that in a way, you know?
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, they'll come up with a good idea.
Yeah.
I think when they do, it's mostly by accident, but yeah, every once in a while it happens.
Yeah. A lot of insurance companies in Lorain State, Oregon there. I've been battling a lot of places in Oregon with the insurance company. My dad's life insurance and the standard insurance that's in Oregon. And I noticed a bunch of other stuff is in Oregon, too. The credit reporting aid, TransUnion. There's a lot of stuff in Oregon, so I wonder why.
No, I couldn't answer that.
Well, when it comes
one.
To siphoning money from people, you can count on Oregon.
Yeah. and look, here's the deal. Remember, they love rioters. You know, the Democrats, they love riots, and they're planning on, if Trump wins, to crank up the riots.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And they love assassinations, too. Think about it. They've already tried to kill Trump three or four times, several times, in fact. And they even tried to offer freaking Supreme Court justice, you know?
Yep. And I've heard there's another one. There's another attempt coming, but I think right now it's just speculation, but I've seen articles on it. I can't remember where the heck I saw them.
They just recently caught another guy, not the Somali or whatever, Indian or whatever it was. This is another guy that they caught just recently. Because we heard that there was what's that paper out of England? The I'm blanking on the name of the news media paper out of England. It's always got those long-ass headlines and shit. But a reporter from that particular paper said that there was a guy that they caught, and I saw the clip of him at one of these places, and he was talking to a reporter and said, look, and this reporter goes, oh, what about this recent guy that tried to kill, that they just caught? Well, Trump didn't know about it until the reporter told him about it. So, but they're trying to hide these things because they want, I've said it before, our friend Kat doesn't like it when I say it, but they want this guy dead. They want Trump dead. They want him dead. By any means necessary.
Yeah, and they've gotten away with so much, they think that they can actually do anything they can to make that come true.
Yep. And that's why I keep saying they would love nothing more than to stick him in jail without his stick him in Rikers Island without his guys, without his Secret Service, in general population. That's what they would love to do.
They can't do that. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. We're waiting
for that. They want to do it. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me, Joe. I didn't say they were going to do it. I said they would love to do that.
Yeah, well, they would love to string them up from a tree and hang them upside down and do it like Mussolini deal. You know, I know we know that, you know. I mean, they're not going to.
Hopefully Pianchi will come tonight because I heard him on another show yesterday afternoon. You know that I happened to be on as well. We were talking about Kamala Harris, and well, there you go. He called in and talked about the whole her not being legal to run for president. And
I gave everyone a format. I gave everyone a format to work off of. You know, use that format. Take it to the State Board of Elections. You don't have to use what I said, but you got the format. You got the laws that are quoted in there. Take that, build off of it, and go to your State Board of Elections and file a challenge for candidacy.
Yep.
I've been working on changing that around for New Mexico, so.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got to do it. We got to stand up and fight like patriots. I mean, come on, man. We can't be sitting around doing nothing. I'm not expecting everybody to pick up a 50 caliber rifle and go tip marching in the streets. I'm just saying, you know, use the power of the First Amendment and you access to the courts. Use it. You know, it's there. It's still there. If we allow them to run roughshod over us and twist everything around and run the courts and run everything, then when we sit here and complain and cry and stomp our feet like little babies, we need to be out there fighting, you know, doing what we got to do.
Yep, and I agree with that.
Yeah, and if anybody needs help, you know, look, I'm here. You know, everyone's here. Everyone could communicate with everybody, ask for help. And if that person don't, and if other people don't want to help, then, you know, kick them to the curb and that's it. They're a heretic. You know, who cares? You know, all they are is talking. Talk is cheap, man. That's schoolyard stuff, you know. Talk is cheap. We've got to put words into action. We've got to be out there doing. We got to do like we did with the election integrity laws when we did all that. You know, it picked up movement for a little while there. Everybody, you know, putting hard work into it, and then everybody just fades away. You know, it's like, you know, we have short memories, you know. And I'm not singling anybody out. I'm just saying everybody, all of us, maybe me, guilty. We got to fight more, fight harder.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that I mentioned earlier. One of the problems with the Republican Party is that they will go, they will fight to a point, depending on how important they think the issue is. They will fight during the election, but once the election is over, they just kind of go home and start living their lives. Democrats do
Good
not.
Point.
And we've got to stop doing that. We've got to, you know, one of the reasons I keep trying to keep this show going is because, you know, I don't stop. You know, during the off season, I've sent things to our governor and, you know, it doesn't do any good most likely, but as long as she's getting something.
You know, do good. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as
Keep
she's doing something.
And we said it, and Robert, we've said it before, hopefully you can get two fresh faces in that state, and with Ms. Domenici and the other lady that's running for the House.
Harold? The thing that I've noticed here in New Mexico is during the last election cycle, we saw – we'd see one Republican commercial, then we'd see 15 Democrat. And where it's changed here in New Mexico is I am now seeing only the ones against the ads for Yvette Harrell and for Domenici. And they've got some really good ones. And they got one where a veteran is talking about how he does not like how Gabe Vasquez is tearing down the country that he fought and many of his friends died for. And it's a powerful
and
ad.
Here's the thing. I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, right? And you know what they do right now with YouTube and stuff with the commercials and the different things before the show starts. Well, sometimes what we'll get is we'll get, you know, a Trump asking for money or Kamala Harris asking for money. a lot of the times what I'll see is I'll see Gallego over there in Arizona, the one that's running against Kerry Lake.
Yeah.
That's running. I'll see him asking for money. Now what he's doing is he's saying, give me your money. I'm behind in the polls now.
Yeah.
And we don't want a MAGA extremist to win the Senate seat.
Yep. And that, and that's what they, that's what they're constantly running against too. It's but you know, it's like I was saying, you know, like the last time I saw, you know, one Republican, then 19 Democrat ones. Well, this time I don't think I've seen any Democrat ones. I have not seen any for Dave Vasquez. I have not seen any for Heinrich. I've seen some against him. That's not really pushing for anybody. They're just saying that he has told the line every time that the DC elite has told him he has to do something. He toes the line. He doesn't care about New Mexico. It's time to bring him home. And there's nothing there saying this is an ad for Yvette Harrell or this is an ad for Nella Domenici. It's just an ad against him.
Yeah, you're right. And the ad you did for me, for my campaign, that ad that when you did, that was pretty good ad, actually. You know, that was very good, you know, that you did, you know. And, you know, the ads like that, you know, stuff like that, that stuff that he's planting seeds around the country and around people that see it, just that small ad, you know, it plants a seed somewhere, you know, and that's good. And that's what we have to do, you know, using our creativity.
Yeah.
No matter how what big or how small it is, that's what we could be doing, you know, taking
well,
over alternative media especially.
Yeah, they've got one ad, and it plays on almost all the channels that I watch, but they got one ad where it talks about how Heinrich has not done anything for New Mexico. And then it brings in this lady who's standing beside a truck, and she says, he hasn't done anything for New Mexico. And then it shows this old guy sitting on the back of a truck. He says, I've been a Democrat all my life. He says, but we have to have some change. He says, this time I'm voting for Nella. And and you can tell he's an old Navajo, you know, or, you know, old Indian.
Yep.
And he's, you could tell he's worked in the fields. His skin is all sun ravaged and everything else, but he's saying we need change. He says we just can't keep going the way we are. I'm voting for Nella this time. And
hey, Robert, you remember years ago that ad that with you mentioned Indian there, that Indian ad, it was on TV. I think it was in the early 70s. I just remember as a tiny little boy watching an Indian sitting on a horse. And he's overlooking like the landscape of all the littered land and everything. He's got tears in his eyes. You remember that one?
I remember those.
Yeah.
There was several of them. Yeah.
Yeah. That was powerful, yeah.
But, you know, things are changing, and they're changing here in New Mexico, which is a good thing. But we've really got to watch because, you know, like our governor, she's just, you know, she's not even looking at what's going on. She's looking at what she wants, and she's pushing it with every fiber of her being, and she doesn't care. And,
wow. How's the border crisis there in your state, Robert? How's the border situation?
Oh, it's not good. We've got farmers down in southern New Mexico who are starting to go up in arms. One actually, I think a couple weeks ago, killed a migrant that was on his land trying to break into his house, and the farmer got in trouble, which to me you know, give me a break. He was defending his land, you know, but he got in trouble. You know, it's like, okay, this has got to stop. It's insane.
Wow.
It's stupid. And, you know, you're trying to tell essentially our government is trying to tell our people, and don't follow the laws. They're not there for you guys. You do what we tell you to do, nothing else, or you'll be in trouble. And, you know, he's already got good lawyers fighting for him. They know he can't pay them because he's just a farmer, and he's not, you know, he's got a small farm down there. And so they're doing it pro bono, but that's, you know, that's You know, it's sad when law-abiding people, you know, do something to stop somebody who's breaking the law and they get in trouble. It's like with me and my job at Office Depot. If I do anything, put my hands on somebody who's stealing and you know, try and stop them, I can get fired. I can get in trouble.
Yep. Yeah.
And when they come in and steal something and I stand in front of them, they say, don't touch me. You can't touch me. That's where this nation's going right now. It's like the criminals come in. They know they can do what they want. They know they can get away with what they want because nobody there can stop them. It's sad.
Wow, that is sad. Man, that's crazy, man.
And I know a couple of weeks ago we had one guy come in and steal some stuff, and my boss got in his way and actually knocked him down. And it's all on cameras, and in our, you know, she was afraid there for a couple of weeks that she was going to get fired over that. But thankfully she wasn't.
Yeah. Hey, how about this one? This is another news story. How about this? California signs into law starting this year, no more gas-powered products for landscapers. That's one more step to no more cars. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and I also found out today, too, we do shredding at Office Depot, too. And this lady came in today and said that she has come from California. And when she was there, you could do your shredding for free. The government would pay for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. What are they charging you now?
We charge them by the pound, which, and it isn't much, but it's, you know, she mentioned that in California, the government pays for it. So, okay, well, fine. That's another thing the government's trying to pay for.
Yeah, in Connecticut, I heard not grocery stores. They charge you for the bags, the plastic bags. Now you have to pay for them.
Yeah, they were doing that here for a while too.
Oh, man,
and I guess the people got upset and they stopped doing it.
Yeah. Man, Connecticut's a police state. Connecticut's just terrible. Mm.
And I'm glad I don't live there.
Yeah, Massachusetts liberals, all liberals. You know, it's insane.
Well, as you
by the way, Robin, I think we may have somebody new on the phone line because I see Guns called in. He said he called in the chat room, so Gunslinger.
Yeah, I don't see him yet. Unless that's 336 area code. But I don't think so. That's somebody else. And I can't find my list
right now.
North Carolina. Yeah, that's North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably somebody I told to listen.
Oh, okay.
I see Gunn raising his hand now, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. And then we have a Skype number also raising their hand. So let's find out who's on Skype. Hey, Skype. Who
are we at? Well, I hope to be Skype no longer. I got a question for Robert.
Oh, okay.
Hey, look, Robert, do you attribute the worsening situation on the border to the actions of the Texas governors as they seal, to a great extent, the Texas border? Do you think now these immigrants are starting to move toward your border over there in Arizona?
Yeah, I talked about that about a month and a half ago, where we've got people who are still trying to get into Texas, but they'll come into New Mexico and they go over into Texas from the New Mexico border, which is not being protected right now.
Mm-hmm. I kind of thought so. I kind of thought that might explain why it's getting worse. Because Texas is, now it's not completely sealed up yet, but it's much better than it was. And, you know, criminals like to take the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Right. And I do know one thing. I do know that Arizona is not sealed up because they got the doggone doors on the fence welded open. You know?
Yeah.
So go figure, right?
Mm.
You know, are we surprised? Remember, the Democrats got to make up the number of black defectors from the Democrat Party. If they lose just 20% of the vote they have to get every national cycle, they can't win. They've got to make up that number somehow. Black men are defecting the Democratic Party to an extent that will significantly affect their electoral chances, even though they're still going to get the overwhelming majority of black votes. They got to get 94% of it or better to assure a victory.
Right. And if it's down there in the 80s, they're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Just think they get 25%.
Yeah, let alone if it goes from 95% to 69 or 70 or, you know, 80, you know?
Yeah.
80%. Yeah. Somewhere in the 80, maybe 79% range. That's death. It's the same thing for the Hispanics. I mean, they were talking 40%+ of the Hispanics are going to go for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they need illegal aliens to make up the gap, man. They need the illegal aliens now. Illegal aliens are essential to the Democratic Party's national survival.
Yep, and I just brought John Doe in.
Hey, John.
What's up, gang?
Yeah, I'm here.
Not much. Other than Robert's governor being an idiot.
I think she's beyond being an idiot. She's just downright evil.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Robert, she's losing her own party, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Yeah, there's a lot of Democrats here in the States. It's like that one ad for Nella. There's a lot of Democrats in the state that are starting to turn, and they're saying, you know, they've been Democrats all their lives, but Democrats are not doing anything for this state. They're tearing this state down. Something has to happen. So I'm watching some changes going on here, and it's actually kind of nice to see.
Look, you know, our friend Kat says there are no Democrats and there are no Republicans, but that may be a good point, but it's a uniparty, but that's not how
friend.
We've been programmed.
Hey,
yeah, we've been programmed Republicans and Democrats, you know. That's what we've been programmed, and it's deep-seated programming, right? We've been programmed for decades, centuries maybe, Republican and Democrat, you know? And so I mean, it's just like what happened, you know, you had the Federalists and you had the Democratic Republicans at one point, and then you had the Democrats and the Whigs, and then the Whigs go away and here come the Republicans, you know, and it's been Democrat and Republican ever since the 1860s, I guess, you know. So a couple hundred years of this, and all we know is that. All we know is the so-called two-party system. All right, that's all we know.
Yeah, you guys were talking a couple minutes ago about wanting Pianchi in. He just raised his hand. Hello, Pianchi.
Hey, Pianchi. Hey, how you guys doing? Well, let me ask you this.
And by the way, Pianchi, I heard you. By the way, Pianchi, I heard you on that other show this week. I was there. That was me. On the show that you called in on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, come Monday, our Secretary of State, both U.S. Senators, Congress people, they getting letters from me, Louisiana, on the legitimacy of Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
This don't make any sense. And if they let that go by, what else won't be allowed to go by? Yeah. And you know, you talk about Democrats and Republican parties, they just corporations. That's all they are. They're not affiliated with the government. They just corporations that have the right to do what they're doing. Anybody can form parties and do the same thing.
And that's the thing. And that's why I think it's a good idea to, if they're going to consider themselves corporations, well, treat them like a corporation. The CEO, if you don't like the way the CEO is running the corporation, what do you do with that CEO? You know, you get rid of that CEO, right? That's what we did with Rona McDaniel. We didn't like the way she was running the RNC, right?
Yep.
We got rid of her. We put in a guy from North Carolina, I believe a guy from North Carolina, and Laura Trump as co-heads of the DNC, RNC. You know, this guy, that if they want to treat themselves like that, we got to treat them like that, you know.
Yep.
And Trump finally understood that, Trump finally gets it that the RNC is a corporation. It's not a committee like it claims to be, Republican National Committee. It's a corporation, the Republican National Corporation.
That's all they are. They give you the choices, and your vote for them choices don't mean a damn thing. They can take them out. If they look like it's going the way for them, they get rid of them. Then you got outside interests that support them. They get their money from outside interests who have an agenda out of that particular party, and mm-hmm. they will work toward those outside interest agenda if their candidate, their choice, is elected.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Look at what the Democratic National Corporation did. Look at what they did. They took their own guy out. They took Biden out. Democratic National Corporation.
Yeah, they've done it to Sanders too, remember?
Yep.
Not that I like them, but I'm just giving you an example. This stuff has gotten completely out of control. It's like walking into the house. You got two kids swinging around on the damn ceiling fan. You got two of them going around in circles in your dryer. You got them diving off the top of the refrigerator. It's like an animal house.
Yep, that's exactly what it's like.
And being that it is like animal house, you got what's his name making that unintelligible speech at the end of that movie, you know?
Can you come in the bathroom for a little while when you finish?
Pardon?
You got a woman who done made several oaths to the United States Constitution and don't keep any of them, even though she's not even qualified what she's seeking for now. She's not even a citizen. She's alien. When you read it, she don't qualify for the 14th Amendment. But here she is where she is now. And people letting this stuff go, that's because they're dumb. They're dumb is more dumber than an eggshell.
Yep. We have, you know, the thing that I'm, you know, and I'm actually not too awful upset with everything that's going on right at the moment, because I'm watching what's going on here in New Mexico, and there's a lot of good happening here right at the moment. We still have our stupid governor, but she's at least getting pushback on the things that she's doing. So that's kind of like a new thing here. So things are changing, but we still have to watch out.
There are going to be more attempts on Trump. It just are. They don't.
Oh,
they
wow.
Them.
It's like you want it to happen. My goodness. You
no,
said
I'm
that
saying,
about a dozen times.
I'm just stating a fact. I'm just stating a fact. It's a fact. They don't like him. They don't want him in office. And they'll do whatever the hell they want to do.
You know this, though. I mean, there were attempts on Reagan, Clinton, everybody. There are attempts on every president. You just don't hear about a lot of them. You know, so it's of course there's going to be people out there who want to kill him. I mean, come on. I mean, look at Obama. I mean, a lot of people wanted to kill him, you know. Thank God they didn't. But I'm just saying, it's you know.
But
wait a minute. But, Joe, have we ever seen the Secret Service behaving like this in these prior attempts, where they are deliberately violating every one of their protective protocols, and we haven't revealed by investigation? That's the difference now. Yeah, we've always had threats against presidents. But do you see what the Secret Service is doing?
You just asked that three times. The quality. Look at the quality, Sarge, of the people that they're hiring.
No. It's not quality.
No.
Procedures have nothing to do with quality. When you don't even implement the basic protective procedures, you can have the highest quality personnel in the world, and the protectee will not be protected.
That's not true.
Yep.
If you have quality,
that is true.
Quality leadership,
it is true.
Sarge, if you have quality leadership, that will bring quality work to any company.
I don't think you heard what I just said, Joe. The leaders are there to ensure the protocols are followed. They did not secure the high ground that was just over one football field away from the president. They left it unsecured in plain sight. They've never done things like that before.
Yeah, they've never done that
before.
Look
at what you have.
Do you understand what the – didn't you not see what has just been revealed?
Yep. You know, and the one thing that they've done is they've taken five of the people that were there and put them on I think they said administrative leave, which means they're still being paid, which is stupid. But, you know, I don't know. It's
We caught them in lies on that, Robert. They've been caught the women that were couldn't holster a gun. We had caught her on several other security details now. So that's a lie, you know.
I never have seen
time out for titty milk.
Yeah, when we ever hear about the abandoning your post and don't even notify your superiors you're abandoning your post. Don't even tell them you're leaving.
When you've got leadership that's implementing these things that is still there. I know we got rid of Kim Cheadle, right? We got rid of her, but Ron Rowe is still there. He was the second in command. Right? That actually put in some of these procedures that nearly got Trump killed. Ron Rowe, go look him up.
Well, don't the leaders have the authority to get rid of right on the spot, Sarge? I don't know the protocol.
Look, the Secret Service director theoretically has the power, not that, because see, look, some of these guys are like civil service, and you gotta go through a procedure to get rid of them, but.
Mm-hmm.
But for many of the people who are in higher supervisory ranks, no, they serve at the pleasure of the director. And the director can dismiss them anytime he or she decides that they want to. The problem is, now they did this action with the site supervisor, I believe, and a special agent in charge. There are two of those that have been placed on this suspension, administrative leave, whatever the hell it is, while they're continuing the investigation. But you got to ask yourself, why hasn't something more drastic been done when you had a clear violation of protocol and the local coppers were trying to tell the Secret Service about the deficiency? And there wasn't
it's
any
the same
effective
thing,
response.
Sarge. It's the same thing with January 6th. It's the same thing. It's the same crap that's been going on. These are the trends that we're facing now of the breakdown of communication, professionalism. This is our government now. I mean, look at the quality of people that we have. It's our country going downhill.
Was there a breakdown in communication that ended up getting what's her name killed on January 6th? By that
No, that was an
ambush.
Look at that.
No, no, that was an ambush.
Those cops walked away from that window. They were guarding that window. They walked away from that window. She went in that window, and that idiot, that murderer, killed her. You know?
Ambushed her. He didn't give her any warning, didn't give her a chance to comply, nothing. He just opened up on her soon before
but
she even
hero
made it through the window.
He's a hero, though, to the Democrats.
He's a hero to the Democrats, yeah.
That's another thing that needs to be cleaned out.
We'll see if Trump gets elected, if that cop gets brought up on, you know, if that Justice Department investigates that or something, if he pushes for that, because that was murder.
But let's say first-degree manslaughter, but, you know, it's definitely one of the higher grades of murder, no doubt about that.
Yep. Well, he said January 6th
was
high priority.
It was Pelosi that gave the order, gave the green light, shoot to kill, if anybody comes past that area.
Yeah.
And so when
she
was coming
that.
Into the window, that's why there was no warning. If Pelosi gave this, go and shoot to kill green light.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what the Speaker of the House says. That man was trained in a higher law than the Speaker of the House.
Yep.
Speaker of the House's order. That is the laws governing, federal laws governing use of deadly force. And I know ambushes is not one of them. And that woman did not fit the criteria for using deadly force against her as she started to come through the window. She ain't even made it through yet. She didn't get through the window. She was shot as he was putting a foot on the window ledge. And fell backwards.
Think about that. You had people standing around behind her. What if he had missed and shot somebody else behind her?
Yeah.
And
he
behind her.
Yeah, he followed an unlawful order if he did.
Yeah,
you
know,
ain't no
Speaker
of the
House to give you an unlawful order to kill somebody.
Guys, I'm going to go back to those cops that were... Who gave them the order to walk away from the window? If they stayed by the window, Ashley Babbitt still alive.
Might still be alive,
You know, who gave them the order to, because somebody had to give them the order to walk away from the window.
Well, you know what? You're making some sense there. Bird and they leaving the window was probably a conspiracy. They got out of the way so they wouldn't be in the way of a clear shot, which shouldn't have been made because there was people behind her, all around her. And this fool come peekabooing, then all of a sudden pops out and shoots her.
It was an ambush, man. An ambush.
Yep, it was an ambush. My question is this. We know what they would like to do with Trump, all right? I know what they would like to do with Trump. And it's illegal because it involves taking away his protection. But what do you think's going to happen? I mean, I think what this guy's—he's going to put the sentencing off again until after the election. I bet you.
Oh well, look, Mike Alvin Bragg's pretty much settled it for the defense. He wrote a letter to Judge Marchand, and he said he is not going to oppose defense's motion for a delay in the sentencing because of the need to reevaluate the evidence that Alvin Bragg's office obtained from the president while he was president of the United States as he was doing his investigation. So, so he's already conceded the point that it is likely the judge might not be able to accept the jury's verdict. In that letter, I've read the letter. It's astonishing the way they tried to couch it, whether he tried to couch it in other things. Well, it's not likely he's going to prevail. The interlocutory motion is not likely to prevail on the merits. But nonetheless, Your Honor is going to have to consider the Supreme Court decision in light of reevaluating blah, 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 blah. You ought to read the letter that he wrote to Judge Marchand. He's conceding the point.
But
the
thing with Judge Marchand is he's already been paid corruptly, but paid to have that decision, have it stick, and make a decision on whether or not to put him in jail.
Yeah, but Dave, he can't ignore a Supreme Court decision on qualified immunity. That's why he did what he did. He, you know, he was biting his tongue the whole time he was writing that letter. He did not want to do this at all because he knows it means that his case is going up in flames, but he was forced to. I ask you, find the letter on the web and read it. He's conceding it.
Who's the secret guest at the DNC rally?
Wasn't Beyonce.
It wasn't Beyonce. Stevie Wonder? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Stevie Wonder?
I don't know.
Nope. I tell you what, we can all wonder. I tell you what, though, guys. What's his name? Bill Clinton looks like he's ill. He looks like he's in bad shape.
Yeah, he did.
Bill Clinton.
I mean, yeah, you can see he's aged. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he had still had that sparkle in his eye. But yeah, a lot of people have been saying that, so I guess there must be something to it. But I looked at him on the surface. His voice was raspy, yeah. But he looked pretty good considering his dissolute lifestyle. So, you know, but who knows? He's a mess.
You know,
it wouldn't surprise me to know that he's a mess.
Kamala Harris, well, you know, look at her background. I mean, look at her father was a freaking Marxist.
Yeah.
You know, her father was a Marxist revolutionary. You know, I mean, look at her background.
Wait, Kamala's father was a Marxist professor. He taught Marxian economics in Jamaica, and not just for purposes of edification, but from the standpoint of it being a viable economic theory.
Marxist economics or Keynesian economics?
Marxist.
You know, Don Harris?
Flat out
they
Marxist.
They say Don Harris. What is it? They say Don Harris, he was involved with some kind of slave controversy in Jamaica.
And plus,
well, yeah, is his parents, his deceased ancestors who were involved in the slave trade. I don't think it's fair to hold that against him. He had no choice over his ancestors.
And plus, I believe Harris's mother was a Marxist too, wasn't she?
Yes, definitely. She was here. She was there on a student visa, and he was in the United States on a work visa. So neither of them was subject to the total jurisdiction in the United States. They were like sojourners, like people on a tour visa.
But if that was you or me, Sarge, if that was me, especially me, whoa! Imagine if my grandfather was a Nazi or something.
You know what happened to some of those leaders.
Many black people are descendants of slave owners. What's new about that? Probably the majority of black people in the United States are descendants of slave owners. So, I mean, there's not much you can do with that. They don't have anything to do with it.
You got some that's spending wealth that they descendants made off of slaves, and they black. Start putting out some names. You just got to look at them. Hell, they want it on the big radio station.
Look at LeVar Burton. Look at what LeVar Burton found out. Remember LeVar Burton, the actor in Roots? He found out about his Confederate great-grandpa who was high politically muckamuck in the segregation of the South.
Well, he told Al Sharpton she's going to pass a bill for reparations, so.
Yes, I mean, you know, I mean, but I'm not, I, you know, I don't think you can hold people accountable for their ancestors. I mean, like, what else do you have less power over? The problem is them. What did they inherit from them? Did they? And do they show any attitudes of it in their present-day conduct? And in the case of Donald Harris, he shows a philosophy that has enslaved more people.
Hello?
Oh, we may have lost him.
But the thing is that they always blame white. Can you just picture a white person woke up, washed his face, brushed his teeth, ate his breath and come outside, and there's 15 people say, "You owe me money."
he's going to be looking around and saying, what the heck are you talking about? That's the way it goes.
Well,
that's right.
Well, I tell you what, I can't wait to see this movie that Matt Walsh has come out with, Am I Racist? That guy cracks me up, man. He did that I'm a Woman thing. That was funny as hell and enlightening, too. And I've seen some of the trailers of this Am I Racist thing he did, and it looks hilarious. And it shows these leftists for what they are. I mean, they're just ludicrous. I mean, just, I mean, and when they found out that he was, you know, psy-opping their little struggle session, where, you know, if you're white, you're supposed to confess your guilt, and then they have a little cry room set aside. You can go in there and cry about your guilt, the white guilt of your ancestors from 400 years ago. And when Matt Walsh went in there to pretend like he was crying, and while he was in there, somebody said, wait a minute, that guy, I know who he is. He's the guy who did that I'm a Woman thing. He's really a conservative, and he's here to spy on us. And they got together, and they got to talking, and then when he came back, they accused him of making him feel unsafe. Now, they outnumber him 9-1, and they're unsafe with him being there, and they got to call the cops on him. You know, they're calling the cops because he's made them feel unsafe. You know why? Because they are wrapped up, their emotions and their physical being is wrapped up in their ideology. And if you attack their ideology and their belief system, that's a personal attack on them. They are incapable of separating the two. That's why these people get so panicky when they're in the midst of a conservative whose beliefs they cannot refute. They get warped. They get crazy. They get personal. They get hyper. And they call the cops on the guy. It was just funny as hell to listen to them say. And one of them was Robin DiAngelo, the woman who wrote that book, White Guilt. Oh, man, I can't wait to see this movie. I can't wait. It ought to be funny as hell.
I put a link in the chat room for a documentary that exposes CPS for child trafficking and how they steal children from people's homes.
Which state?
All states, CPS as a whole, the whole agency altogether, that how they kidnap children from hospitals and families' homes and then get them into the underground world and everything. So that's a big thing where child trafficking in this world. So,
yeah, that's good. We ought to be able to link a lot of that to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and their policies of the border. There's 633,000 minors they cannot account for. They don't know where they went. Once they came into the custody of customs and border
Republicans. Republicans.
I don't care who it is. I don't care who benefits from it. Expose them all.
That's right.
Everyone.
What happened to everybody in the chat room? Where did everybody go in the chat room? What happened? Did everybody cry because they couldn't be gumming? What happened?
I'm not exactly sure, but and that's the thing that I've been pushing for quite a long time here. You know, we can't just vote Republican or Democrat just because that's what we are. We got to vote for the person who is most qualified to do
what they're
going in to do. You know, it doesn't matter what party they're in, or if they're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or something else. It doesn't matter if they are the best at of anybody who can do what they want are going into office for. They're the ones you should vote for. It doesn't matter what party they are. It just put the best person in.
Well, having said that, and I agree with that as a matter of principle, but having said that, it is inescapable that certain parties are more prone to doing certain things than others. Me and Bianchi were talking about this earlier today. We were going in great detail the educational systems in the various areas of the United States, particularly those that educate large numbers of black people, and they are concentrated in cities. Well, literally, and Pianke can tell you this because he had the figures right in hand. He gave me the list. I can't get to it right now because my damn computer's acting up again. But he had a list of all these public school systems where there is literally not one pupil that is reading or doing mathematics at grade level as required by the standards of the state. Not one. And in every single case, no exceptions. They are in areas that are governed by Democrats. Now, some things are just inescapable.
Some things are just inescapable. I mean, we were looking at a dozen school systems in big cities, all governed by Democrats, Democrat mayors, Democrat boards, Democrat governors.
Why is this not talked about? Why is this not
talked about? Because that's the last taboo. See, that's one of the last taboos. We're supposed to believe that all parties are equally guilty in everything. They're equally guilty in many things, but not in everything.
Yep.
And the thing, think about it, guys. What is one of the biggest and loudest things that the left side, the Democrats, are always about, always up in arms about, always arguing against? School choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I think everyone should get out of public schools. If you ask me.
Here in New Mexico, actually, that school choice thing is kind of working in a different way than most everybody's thinking, because there's a lot of schools now that are coming up into fruition of what they are doing. My church has a school. They call it Legacy Academy, and they have kids from first grade all the way up and through high school, and it's not a public school, and those are popping up, and you know the Democrats don't like that, but it's they're showing up here in New Mexico, so that's a good thing. And my church has a really good one, so we've had some changes there here in New Mexico too. So I've watched some pretty major changes happening here, so that's a good thing.
I also put my case in the chat room there, my case, because I'm suing, the people here, the election people here also in my state. So I filed my federal lawsuit last week, and it finally was filed this week. So they should be getting served by the U.S. Marshals. I love it when the U.S. Marshals serve people. You should see these people's faces.
Yeah. I just copied that. I'm bringing it up, so I've got it on my computer. Good. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. You're welcome. But that's, we have to put stuff into action, like I'm saying, like you, Robert, out there fighting Sarge, Pianki, people. I know there's people on this podcast but the people that are listening that aren't doing nothing, if they're, what people are out there, if they're not contributing and taking part and fighting or doing something, at least once a week, something. I think you should be doing something once a day, then you should not be talking, or you should just, you're a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I just recently watched this movie called Hidden Figures. It's a biographical drama about three black women who worked at NASA during the space race. Very smart.
That's an awesome
women.
Movie. I've seen it several times. Very awesome movie. Yep.
It is awesome. And those were some very, one of them was a mathematician, I believe. Very smart women, and of course that was at a time when they hadn't dumbed down the school system to the point of where it is now. They were very smart women, and they got the job done, and they did a job, and I enjoyed watching that movie. It was a hell of a movie, we got to do something. I mean, at one point here in Louisiana, and this was before Pianki moved here, way before, when they started to talk about, school choice and vouchers and stuff and passing it, my school I graduated from, which is a Catholic school, when it looked like it was going to get passed, they had a bunch of people sign up for the vouchers to come to this Catholic school at the time. Now, granted, it's not as much as the tuition, but that's not the point. Well, they couldn't have that, because that would have been stealing from the almighty public schools. They couldn't have people come to a, at the time, this was before the whole charter school
phase, right? You know, they couldn't have inner city and poor kids get a shot at coming to a, you know, anyway, it's not just my school. It happened all across Louisiana. The private schools and the Christian schools and the Catholic schools that you know were already here were signing people up in droves to come to their schools, and they couldn't have that. They couldn't. It hurt them, you know.
Yep.
So they tamped. They made sure it failed. They made at the time, and this was like 1979, 80, 81, something like that at the time, 82, something like that, early 80s, you know. And so, and that just proves that these guys are against anything that might make the education system any better. They're against it because they want that captive audience. And believe me, those public schools, that's all that is they is a captive audience.
Well, I got a question for all of you folks. In fact, I got two. What do you guys think of RFK's endorsement of Trump? I don't know if you've spoken about it already or not, but I'm just asking. I'd like to know what you guys think of it. And number two, what do you think about the Democrats setting up Moloch mobiles all over the Democratic National Committee to solicit people to have abortions? And then women run around dressed up like abortion pills. I mean, like, that's not weird or anything. That's not weird to have a bunch of women around the Democratic National Convention dressed like abortion pills, but they were.
Yeah, the Republicans are weird. Not them. That's not weird at all.
Well, Sarge, it's not just abortion bans. It's they wanted the men to get vasectomies.
Yeah, that too. I don't think they got any volunteers for that one. I don't think they did. They did get people who signed up for abortions. They were soliciting abortions. Now, I mean, remember when Clinton was president and he was proclaiming that we want abortion to be safe, legal, and, wait for it now, rare. Now they're all in for maximum numbers of abortions. It's just astonishing when it flipped on a dime, and all of a sudden they come to, like, the once upon a time, they were the party of slavery. Now they're in for something even worse than that. They're the party of abortion and baby killing. And they're proudly proclaiming it. But what do you think about RFK's endorsement of Donald Trump?
Well, I think I said this earlier. I'll say it again here, Sarge. He was pulling 4.5%, all right, of the vote.
Right.
Okay, 4.5%. Now, that's in this race, which is razor thin right now, and they're saying that Kamala Harris is ahead by maybe 1% or 2%, maybe 2%. 4.5% is a big deal. Even if he just gets 2.25%, which is half of the 4.5. That's a big deal because that puts Trump over the edge. You know, that puts Trump, that wins Trump, that possibly wins Trump, barring cheating, that possibly wins Trump the election. So it's a big deal that RFK Jr. is going against his family who Caroline Kennedy was working for Biden at one point, I believe, was going against his family and endorsing Trump.
Well, I heard a pollster who has an excellent track record saying that out of the total universe of RFK voters, 6 in every 10 are going to switch their votes to Donald Trump. Two out of every 10 are undecided, and the other two are going to vote, either not vote, or they're going to vote for another third-party candidate. Now, this guy's got a pretty good track record in it, and that's the way he was analyzing it before RFK had announced. So let's assume for a moment that is true, then what you say, Dave, that would definitely kick things in Trump's favor, no doubt about it, particularly in these tight swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and both the other ones, Ohio.
Yeah, no, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona.
I think Georgia's pretty much, but they pretty much, cause, I mean, it's not beyond possibility that Harris can take Georgia. I think they're pretty much conceding Georgia to Trump. I don't think they're thinking it's really a significant battleground state like the other three I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And also, and Sarge, I also mentioned, you know, I said that I was talking earlier how, you know, on YouTube they have all these commercials and stuff, and they'll do, you know, Trump will be on there raising money, Kamala Harris will be on there raising money. Well, the guy that's running against Carrie Lake is starting to say, well, we kind of stopped this MAGA extremist Carrie Lake from winning. Well, I need your money, you know, basically that. But I got that tells me that things have flipped down there in Arizona. Carrie Lake is either tied or Carrie Lake is ahead in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. I think they are concerned about Arizona now. And, yeah, I think this RFK endorsement is really a big, big deal. I think they're going to launch an October surprise. They are going to make Kamala Harris president. Well, I'd say 60-40 chance they're going to make her president by Joe Biden announcing he's going to resign. And that way they will make Kamala Harris president. And she will have her October surprise going into the election. She will actually be the incumbent president of the United States forever they think that's going to be worth to their ticket. I mean, what do they got to lose? If they're losing,
that,
especially, it's going to be a big Hail Mary pass.
I was seeing that the very second that Biden decided to drop out from running. I was saying that,
yep.
Especially that they'll do that if Kamala starts to dip in the polls and things aren't looking so good for her. That's what they're going to do. They will pressure Biden to stand down, resign the presidency, install Kamala, and that way she's the incumbent. Yep, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Right when he first dropped out.
Right. It's too good an idea for them not to do it if they're drowning. You're like, you know, a drowning man clutching his straws. I think that's what they're going to do if it looks like she's in danger of getting blown out.
Yep.
Well, what about Maricopa County admitting to illegally recounting primary election day ballots? Did you get that article, Sarge?
Yeah, I got it, but I can't get to it now because of my damn malfunctioning internet. But I did get it.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that's exactly what they would do because that would give them the ability to say, we now have had the first, not only the first female vice president, but the first female president. You know?
And female whatever.
Well, a black Indian Jamaican president, the first black Indian Jamaican illegal alien president. They have a whole bunch of first ones there.
Everybody, let's celebrate. Yeah.
Celebration time. Come on.
Come,
well, I think, you know, I think it's a pretty serious issue. I mean, you know, it's good to make jokes and everything, but at the same time, it's a very serious issue, this election. I mean, our country is heading to shit. You know,
I've said it before with Kamala Harris. Senator, what's his name from the 50s, is flipping over in his grave watching.
It's not about
Kamala
that. It's about people today, too. You know, you understand if this country ever plunges into a civil war, the destruction and the chaos and the lives that will be destroyed and the aftermath
is,
also of destruction.
We got a pure communist ticket running for president. That's the point.
Yeah, no, but you have to understand, I'm trying to get back, veterans out there, they understand war and or people that have post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, there's times, like, you know, one veteran I heard, you know, it's typical of my life, you know, there are times when I don't want to be around people at all, you know, like this guy said, he goes out with places where he could just scream the top of his lungs out in the back of his backyard there in the woods because he doesn't want to be around people because of the, you know, because of the war that he saw, the destruction, the death. You know, that's serious stuff. People have never experienced that.
Tell me something, Joe. Tell me something, Joe. Who goes to communist China 30 times that isn't either an anthropologist, a sociologist, or a diplomat? Who goes to communist China 30 times, honeymoons in communist China, and brings a bunch of students over there?
Dr. Fauci.
No, Tim Walz. Tim Walz.
Yeah, he's come back.
Not only that, he got married in Tiananmen Square on the anniversary of it.
Of the blood.
He gave the police the orders to shoot people when they were on the front porch during the pandemic, to shoot people with the rubber pepper balls there.
I made a point about a friend of mine.
I unplugged it, and I put it back in.
We saw that footage of the cam footage of the cops doing this, and they were doing it with women, okay? Think about this. They were shooting women with those paintballs, those military-level paintballs, which could kill her, which if it hits you in the right place, it could kill a person. But think about this. What if one of those women were pregnant, and she got hit with that, one of those paintballs in the stomach?
What if they did that someplace like around here?
And by the way, from my understanding, it was Tim Walz's that order with the police and everything that you saw with the paintballs. That was during the Summer of Love, the aftermath and the rioting and everything that was going on, the COVID response. So just a little correction there. But nevertheless, thing I'm reporting, you know, they're not a threat. They're not rioting when they're standing on their own front door. You know, how is that at all justifiable? You're shooting people with paintballs on their own property just for standing right outside their front door. That is how unlawful is that? How anti-constitutional is that? There's no justification for that whatsoever. It was sickening. It's appalling.
They shouldn't have had qualified immunity because I make the point about the two women. If one of those women, and I've seen the footage, one of them was a younger woman, all right, in her 30s, maybe 20s. You know? But if one of those, if that woman had been pregnant and the ball hits her in the stomach, bounces up.
Yeah, we know.
She
could have had a miscarriage. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Not only does she get killed, but the baby gets killed too.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to break in here for a second. We've got 2 minutes left of the second hour, and then after that, the show will continue for a bit. But if you're not on the phone, you will lose the broadcast. It says 90 seconds. So if you want to continue with the show, go ahead and call in. I know I've got 989 there. Not sure who it is, but they haven't raised their hand, so. Okay, go ahead, guys.
Well, yeah. Oh, good. I was just about to say something too. To go ahead and call in, otherwise your audio is going to drop if you're listening online. So thanks for catching that, because I was going to do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was one of the worst things of police abuse power I think I've seen in an American city. And police officers walking down the street, kitted out like stormtroopers, and they start opening up on Americans on their own front porches. I know of no curfew provision which forbids you from standing on your front porch. You're in your house. You're on your property where curfews say you got to be in during times of a curfew. Because they're important.
What happened if they shot back, Sarge? What happens if people would have shot back? How would that have played out?
They better hope I'm not on the jury.
It would have been a literal bloodbath.
They better hope I'm not on the jury.
That's what it would have been.
Why would there?
Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to find anybody else ever say, "Oh, I thought it was actual live ammunition." I'll be damned if I find anybody guilty under circumstances like that. Those cops should have known better. They had no justification whatsoever for doing anything like that.
Yep.
Period.
Right.
End of story.
Well, here's the thing. That's exactly why the Second Amendment was put in place to begin with. You know,
yep.
It was for self-defense against our own government. When you have a militarized police state like that, marching down the middle of the street, shooting paintballs, doesn't matter, shooting anything, at people just standing right in their own front porch on their own property, every single one of those people would have been completely justified to arm themselves and shoot back. Every single one of them. If it was anybody else that was doing that, if it wasn't somebody with a badge that was doing that, it would have been justifiable. You
and
know what I mean?
The paintball could have pumped towards somebody's eye up.
Man, if I had seen a big green paintball lobbing up toward me from one of them, I'd have said, "Damn, I thought it was an NBA green tracer." I swear to God, man, that was literally the worst thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Honest to God, it was just, they saw them on the porch, and the guy, the commander, just light them up.
Yep.
What?
Oh, by the way, that's Donnie C. 989 is Donnie.
Thank you. Yeah, now I've got
anyway,
Donnie
yeah.
and Cinnamon
that,
in there
that,
too. So
that guy, and he's got his problems. He's got the freaking stolen valor stuff that's keep coming up about him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what? He was governor of Minnesota when the goddamn third precinct was burning down and the city officials were asking him for help. He commanded the National Guard. He commanded it.
Yep.
Even he admitted that what he did was wrong, that he shouldn't have been dithering out there when they're asking for help because they got no resources to put it down.
Yep, but he didn't
do
it.
He didn't have a VP like that.
But he committed the National Guard to make people, the police, he gave orders to the police to shoo them off their porches. But not to stop the city of Minneapolis from burning down.
Yeah, we've got Cinnamon in there now.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys. I've been sick, so I haven't been paying attention. What incident are you guys talking about? What happened where?
In 2020, that was during the BLM riots. Yeah, in Minneapolis, and the Minneapolis Police Department, along with National Guard vehicles, was going down the street when they saw people on their porches, and without even giving them a command to go into the house, they just ordered them to be shot at with paintballs.
Yep.
Yeah, these are residential neighborhoods, the residential streets,
yeah.
not businesses.
No riots going on. There's still daylight.
Nobody
has
any weapons. Yeah, still daylight. People just on their front porch. And they're shooting paintballs at them.
Right
is that a conspiracy theory?
Light them up.
You know?
Get in the house.
Yep.
Light them up. They should all be arrested. They should all be placed. Whoever was in that, come on, they got records. Those police officers should be arrested.
Aggravated battery should have been the charge. Aggravated battery.
They were just following orders.
That's just disgraceful.
Yeah, that's their fallback line, that's for sure.
Ask the Nazis in Germany. Ask the Germans in World War II about the term just following orders, what that means.
Yeah, the ones that didn't hang.
I'm just surprised, though, that we're just not up in arms around this country about that. Why that
I'm amazed
like
about
wildfire.
That.
Yeah.
And remember, this same guy is vying to be the commander-in-chief should have something happen to the Commander in Chief. He's going to step in and assume the same role as President of the United States that he did as Commander of the Minnesota National Guard.
Yep.
Yep.
And that means if the same thing happens on, let's say, January 6th, and he's the president and she's not, he's going to call in the National Guards and start shooting people in Washington, D.C.
Well, I would hope they wouldn't obey such an order unless deadly force is warranted under existing law and protocol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, Sarge, it's all if everything's on the up and up and Trump's elected and all that stuff, and yeah, you're gonna see riots and all that shit, but that's neither here nor there. But if everything goes down and they cheat again and they do all this shit again and people decide, oh, we're gonna show up, you know, and go into, and this time we're not coming alone. We're bringing Smith and Wesson and Colt with us, you know.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Like
the thing is, it's not an if they do. I'm pretty sure it's just when they do. So.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It won't happen like that either, though. It'll be much different, trust me.
Yeah.
That's why I went in insurrection the first time. Nobody who's serious about insurrection is not going to bring one single firearm into the fight. That whole thing was manufactured by people who were trying to aid the Democratic Party to prevent an objection to the Electoral Count under the Electoral Count Act of 1877. That was the whole point of that damn exercise. Let's stop pretending it was anything like a genuine demonstration. It wasn't. It was engineered to help the Democrats avoid a challenge to the rigged election of 2020.
Just to interrupt here for real quick, Cinnamon, in the chat room, I just put a good video in there about what we were talking about. It's from a local Minneapolis news station about the police and National Guard shooting paintballs at residents, if you want to go into the chat room. Or Donnie's in the chat room. Grab it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, as far as I know, he never sought to have disciplinary or other action taken against those police officers who did that. I don't even think he launched an investigation into it.
Nope. He thinks they're
still patrolling the streets of Minnesota. How do you like to get pulled over by one of those bastards?
Is Piotr, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, so Piaki, let me just tell you, that show you called yesterday is kind of not like this show, because it's not a long form show. He the way he does his show is it's a quick hitting show. Okay, he only does it for about an hour, and you know, he's not gonna sit there and say, stick to one subject. He'll talk, boom, 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 boom. He'll come to you. His name is Marcus.
Are you talking about Marcus?
Marcus Kane. Out of New York. But it's not like these shows, like your show, like Robert's show, Lorianne's show, and what's his name?
Yeah, I know.
And Dynasty's show. It's more of a short form show. It's maybe an hour. Yep, that. So yeah. So, but that's the way he does his. He chooses to do his show. You know. That's the way he chooses to do his show. But that's the show. He and I were on yesterday afternoon. You know,
hey, I have a question for everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question for everybody. If Trump does win the election and all of the non-Trumpers want to protest and have a forensic audit of the election, do you think they should do it, or it should be allowed, or should they just do like the Democrats and try to bamboozle?
What will happen is it will happen
before January 20th when they can actually do it. Now, if the Republicans in the House, because the Republican House will have something to say about this. They'll bring it up. The new House doesn't take place. Until what, January 3rd, 2nd, or whatever it is.
20th, January 20th.
Right. Okay. Well, no. The House, the Congress, the House of Representatives, January 3rd, or something like that. Not the president. I'm talking about the House of Representatives. The new House isn't sworn in until early January, not mid to late January.
About the 6th. I see what you mean.
The point is they want to be able to do that. If the Republicans say, no, we're not going to allow you, if the Republican-led House will stand together, and that's not a given because there's still a number of never-Trumpers that are in the House. If the Republican House will stand together, then it's not going to happen. And this is another reason why the down ballot elections are important. Because let's just say, for the sake of argument, Trump wins, his win has coattails, and we keep the House, we keep the Senate, we get the Senate. Well, there goes they're fucked because they can't do what they want to do. And the Republicans won't allow them to.
What about the Dominion machines and everything? And what about the 2020 election? We just sweep that still under the rug? I mean, that's just like, okay, that's
well,
a mess.
No,
okay,
I'm
they got away with it.
No, I'm not saying sweep it under the rug. I'm just strictly talking about what they want to do. What the Democrats want to do in case Trump wins. Okay, they get the House and they keep the Senate. They want, under the Electoral Count Act of 1870, they want, you know, to do this. They want
a lot of background noise.
Yeah, but Dave, you got to remember what the requirements of the Electoral Count Act of 1877 say. If one member of the House of Representatives and one member of the Senate object to the Electoral Count, then they are required to take a House vote on the matter.
Yep,
so, so here's what we're saying. If there is a legitimate concern from anyone, and the key word here is legitimate, not just political, but a legitimate concern about the integrity of the election, any concern from any party ought to be addressed. And the Electoral Count Act requires that if you get one member from each House, each part of the House, there is an obligation to have a House vote on the matter for further investigation. So it's kind of a done deal if there is an objection, at least under the law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, check this out. Back in 2020, they had one person from the Senate, Ted Cruz, and one person from the House, Paul Kosar. And they brought forth that motion to have all of the delegates or the certification of the delegates sent back to the state, and it was ignored by Mr. Pence.
Well, you know what happened? You know what they did, Dave? What they did, John? Nancy Pelosi invoked emergency rules for the House of Representatives, meaning that all parliamentary objections were tabled under the emergency rules of the House based on the insurrection. That's why I keep saying the insurrection was designed to prevent the objections from going forward. Now, when they reconvened after the so-called insurrection was under control, then they were able to keep those emergency procedures in place to forestall any further objections, and the vote was effectively rendered moot. That's why I keep saying the whole insurrection, I believe, was a cover to prevent exactly that. Objection to the Electoral Count.
Right.
Sarge, whenever they came back from the break, you know, from Miss Nancy Pelosi's scam, they should have picked up where they left off in the House.
They were intimidated out of it by the insurrection. See, yes, you're right. But they were afraid to because of the intimidating atmosphere surrounding the insurrection. Now, you can't possibly vote now for this in view of this rebellion against our authority, can you? And the whole thing got dropped.
And furthermore,
just an excuse because we got a bunch of corrupt people in the system.
And that's right, but it works.
Let me finish. The reason why I brought this question up is because you remember what happened back in the day whenever all those people in Portland and different areas for BLM and whoever on that side of the fence were burning up all these businesses in the summer of love, so to speak. Well, those are the same people that's going to contest the doggone election if Trump wins, and then if they don't get this election stuff to work on their behalf, they're going to probably burn the place down again. That's why I keep saying it don't matter who wins, we lose.
Well, John does be right about the fact that they were corrupt and they didn't do what they were supposed to, but as you can see, it worked. The tactic worked. They were afraid to raise objections in view of the so-called insurrection, and everybody intimidating them and they're not speaking their minds of what they knew was a rigged election. It worked. They can't let it happen again.
Then they've already said that they're gonna crank up the riots again, rent riots again.
We need to crank up about 1,000 Kyle Rittenhouses. That's what we need to have. We need about 1,000 Kyle Rittenhouses.
Or 10 million.
Here's the other thing, guys. What happened after the emergency rules got enacted is they came back and they clarified a rule, basically taking the constitutional power away from the vice president to send these things back to Congress.
That was more than a month later after January 6th, though. They actually they did it after January 6th, though, what you're talking about, Dave. Yeah, they did do that, but it wasn't concurrent with the so-called insurrection.
They did that. But they did that because they have a feeling that Trump's going to win again, and they don't want any challenges. Oh,
right.
They did it for a future president, you know, and that's the thing. And so that rule or whatever it was needs to be challenged in court as being unconstitutional because that's a constitutional power granted to the vice president, I think.
Right. I think so, too. I think the law is probably unconstitutional, but until it's challenged, it's going to remain the law. So somebody would have to bring it up, somebody with standing, but you'd have to be either a congressman or somebody in the Senate to be able to challenge this, or maybe a vice president or president to be able to challenge it, because there's got to be somebody with standing to bring it up.
Is it a House rule?
No, they amended the Electoral Count Act of 1877. They added an amendment to it. They actually changed the statute. It's not a rule. It is in the Federal Register of Laws. They amended the act, so now you got an unconstitutional provision to the Electoral Count Act of 1877. But again, it's going to be challenged in court. Somebody with standing is going to have to bring a challenge to it.
Yep.
Burn it down.
But that's the thing. And as far as these riots go, you know, what needs to happen with these renter riots is this is going to be, in my mind, easily defined as an insurrection. Trying to interfere in the general government of the country. Right? They don't like that Trump is going to possibly win and become the president again. They're going to crank up the riots.
you know, and they got to do it. And that's by their definition of what an insurrection is, that's an insurrection.
Yeah, but not when they do it.
Why isn't anybody talking about all of the, you know, mostly peaceful protests that have been going on in Chicago around
yeah.
the DNC? You know, nobody seems to be wanting to talk too much about that. It's been an ugly scene out there. Have you seen any of the videos?
That's Democrat on Democrat violence.
I think it's really violent in that way. I think it's actually the wingman helping out the main guy. It's like, hey, we're going to throw this, make this look like we're protesting when they're actually using it as a propaganda promotion tool to put forth their message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's the thing. We know that's what they're going to do. If Trump should win, when Trump wins anyway, we know that that's what they're going to try and do, and they're going to try and carry it on through the summer like they did the first time. You know, it'll start in earnest.
You're going to have to start simply whooping some goddamn ass.
That's right.
That's what you got to do. All this other stuff, injunctions, motions. No, you just going to have to start whooping some people's damn ass. Hell, all that burning and crap that went on, we're paying for it now in increases in insurance and every other damn plywood and every other damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Leader Bianchi, I report for service, ready for duty.
Call Sarge out of retirement.
Well, good for you, soldier. We're going to need some.
Yeah. That's
why
for sure.
Is that your footlocker?
I'm telling you, though, man. I mean, this. But look, you guys got to also take into account there's been some electoral victories, too. So Georgia's had significant reforms in the election law. In fact, a lot of these local counties in Georgia are complaining that they changed, the state election board has changed the rules too close to the election, and they're bitching about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the state election board saw what was so funky about 2020, and they've got some significant reforms in place. Same thing, I believe there was a court ruling that upheld some of the problems. I forget if it was in Pennsylvania or Ohio, but the court ruled on the side. Oh, in Arizona, there was some, too. The courts ruled something about certifying the election, and they upheld the positions of plaintiffs with regard to election fraud or election integrity. So there's been some victories, and let's not overlook that either.
No. I mean, when you got the election fraud people crying like little bitches in Georgia, what they're saying is it's modest, it's sort of modest reforms in Georgia, but these people that want to cheat are crying like little bitches, you know?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how many people are willing to challenge Kamala Harris's citizenship status? How many people are willing to go to the state election board?
Lots of people, man. We can't
challenge?
Get no standing. Lots of people
what are you talking about? You don't need standing. You do a candidate challenge. Every citizen has a right to do a candidate challenge in their state.
Yep.
That's all you got to do.
That's at the county level, right? Or is it at the state treasury level?
State level.
State level.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And Joe put in a link to something for that in the chat room earlier. Maybe you could put it in again.
Oh, what's that, for the candidate challenge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I put the link in for my federal lawsuit. But I'll put the candidate challenge in there.
Each state's going to be
different. Yeah, well, you
Robert.
Can
read
more.
So
each John
state
Doe,
will,
you
each
can.
Each person go to the state Treasury Board of Elections division.
Yes, but John Doe, I gave a format, though, that everybody can tinker with and just change the words around. The federal law and the laws are the same. You know, you could, you know, it's a format to build off of. Everyone could do their own. You know, I'm just giving them an idea to start off with, you know?
Yeah, just remember, you're going to lose, but when you lose, at least you got a basis for an appeal. But you're going to lose. But you got a basis for an appeal based upon losing.
And
yeah,
of course,
if you don't
votes,
try
more
it,
people
doesn't matter.
Think about it. Yeah,
right.
That's right too.
Are you wanting to tie some form of promotion to the media to see if we can get some traction from the media to cover it? Because even if it fails, at least it'll get some airtime to get more people, you know, knowledgeable that it's being done.
If everyone, John Doe, if everyone does it in their state, yeah, believe me, it'll get media attention. You know. At least
I think
so, in my opinion.
Well, I'm sending mine off Monday.
Yancey has already sent his letter. I'm going to get on.
I'm sending my letters off.
I can put it as a link.
I sent a letter off to Kennedy, Garrett. I'm sending more letters off Monday. To Landry. Mm-hmm. What's it, Liz? Whatever that the attorney general. I can't get her name right. Cassidy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Everybody should do it next week. Everybody should do it. Oh, we're just going to talk.
But, you know, Gary was at Woodlawn Library about two Thursdays ago, and I asked him several questions, one being about Kamala Harris, and he didn't want to say anything about her. Apparently somebody's already been hitting him up on that.
Well,
there you go. I think you fit it all in there. Yeah. It all fit in there.
Know.
Wow, it all fit in the chat. The whole thing fit in the chat. The whole thing did. Wow.
Cool. Yeah. Here's my thing, though, guys. Garrett Graves, I guess he's going to have to change districts because of this freaking funky district that they have drawn in this state. Because he was going to be my guy, my houseman.
He's supposed to be resigning. I think he's going to run for U.S. Senate. But that stuff with that damn all-black voting dish is a bunch of bullcrap, too.
Yep.
That don't make no damn sense. All you're doing is creating some family.
And Kianchi, I've talked to several of the black citizens that are in the city of Plaquemine, and basically they don't like it. They don't like it.
One thing that people in the know should do is amend their voters' registration and do away with that indication of skin color. The goddamn thing you ever seen. Every representative includes their skin color. That's how them damn federal judges come up with these damn data to come up with these damn decisions. How in the hell else would they know who's there?
Yep,
you're right.
I mean,
those memes that are going around, you know, if race doesn't matter, if race or gender doesn't matter, then why is it on voter registrations? Why is it when you get your driver's license? Why is it when you get put in job applications? Why is it when you put in rental applications? Why are they asking for it everywhere you go if these things aren't supposed to matter? You know, if we really don't want them to matter, stop asking, you know?
Or stop answering
Kamala Harris though says she wasn't black, but you got these activists and these naysayers want to make her black. Tell her, no, you out of your mind, you're going to be black.
Well you got to remember how Humpty Dumpty answered the question. And he asked a question about words in Alice in Wonderland. He said, words mean what I intend them to mean, nothing more and nothing less. Race matters when it doesn't matter, unless it matters to my purposes and my agenda. And when it does, it matters for everything. and it must be taken into account. So, see, it's kind of
What matters for everything is that the jurisdiction, is your state board of election, has jurisdiction over this matter to take her off the ballot, and that's very, very important. Article 3 of the United States Constitution, 29 U.S.C. 1331, that is very, very important. You know, so because they always say, "Well, we don't have no control over that. We got no oversee of that. That's federal. That's state. You know, they play that little game."
Yeah. And Sarge, you're right about the language and how they use the language. I said before you chimed in. I said it before. We basically won the war with abortion because we've equated. We successfully equated abortion, the word abortion, with murder.
Yep.
Abortion is another word for murder. And they know that now. That's why they're using pro-choice.
Health care. Medical care. Yep. They're calling medical care.
Medical care, yeah. Or, yeah, that's what the idiot governor here calls it, is health care.
Medical reproductive services. That's another euphemism they have. These people are diabolical, man. They really are. I wish they were that good at governing as they are at manipulating people and attaining power. They would be a lot better off, but they're not. They're lousy at governing, but they're damn sure pretty decent at gaming it.
Yep.
They're not good at being
people.
Well,
the reason why they go into them vans is because the patients that go to the clinics have to be confronted with those anti-abortionists with signs and pictures and all that stuff. And it was cutting into their patient load. So now they're going to pull right up in front of a person's house. They don't have to be obstructed by anybody. Just go out there in the van, get things taken care of, and go on back in the house.
Hey, guys, we've got a national party proudly proclaiming the desire for more abortions. They have gotten over safe, legal, and rare. They don't want it to be rare anymore. They want it to be elevated to every bit as much as the right and every bit as prevalent as the number of firearms in people's houses in the United States. They would like to see abortion be that widespread.
Yep. Yeah. That's their goal.
Here's the deal. By and large, abortion is not really a big issue because think about it. You can go to Walmart or CVS or any one of these drugstores and get the RU486, whatever the hell, the abortion pill over the counter. You can get any type of.
It's a very big issue. It's a very big issue.
You know?
It's a very big issue. When you kill 60 million children in this country, let me tell you something. You are not a blessed country.
Because you can privately get these pills over the counter, the morning after pill and such things like that, well, the abortion industry, they're trying to turn up more business for the abortion industry because I think abortions would be cut down, not because people believe it's murder, but because there are other ways to not have a baby, abortion pills and stuff like that.
But Mike,
spending hundreds of dollars, they can get the abortion pills for $50, $60, whatever it costs to get them, you know.
But Mike, if that was true, then why is it that they keep trying to use the government as a weapon to force you to accept it? If it was that simple to just go to the grocery store and buy this. See, they want to manipulate it through the corporations and the multinational globalists so that way they can consolidate power and play dictators.
Don't we always say you got to follow the money? Have you guys forgotten that Kamala Harris was instrumental in covering up the sale of baby body parts to the tune of $1,000 to $1,500 per organ, and she was instrumental in covering that up from the public for more than 6 years.
That's right.
Yep.
And then
follow the money, baby.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you remember, what was it? Hillary Clinton was given the Margaret Sanger Award or something at one point.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, Joe Gibson made a point there. Because lightning does not discriminate.
And I'm against harming kids, but I don't want to be standing near nobody who's just the opposite.
Yeah, well.
Lightning, hail, meteor strike, asteroid strikes. Ain't no telling what all is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, if you see a lot of people turning into pillars of salt, don't look over your shoulder.
That's the deal. Think about this. When J.D. Vance said that the Democrats are ruled by a bunch of cat ladies, you know what he meant by that?
Well, I know.
He meant that these people have more skin in the game. They don't have any kids. Childless cat ladies, you know? Nothing against.
Yeah, and that's a bunch of bullshit. That's a bunch of bullshit. Honestly, it's a bunch of bullshit. You mean to tell me that somebody like me that's never had any kids has no skin in the game in the future? I don't have nieces that I give a shit about or nephews that I give a shit about or my best friend's kids that I give a shit about and their futures and their kids after that or neighbors' kids that I give a shit about?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bunch of bullshit right there. Yeah, I do have skin in the game because I have kids in my life that I give a fuck about. And so, yeah, that whole thing, that whole logic there is a complete utter bullshit. I'm going to put it out there right now.
You're an American citizen. You have skin in the game.
I get you're angry about that bullshit, but I think he was making a point about people like Kamala Harris, who's married, he has his kids, but his kids are grown now, Imhoff. You know, she decided never to have kids, Kamala Harris.
I think J.D. Vance was referring to.
And what's wrong with that?
No, but here's what I think J.D. Vance was referring to. You have politicians who have influence, particularly in the Democratic Party, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And that woman was telling the other young woman, you might not want to have a child because of climate change. Now, she's not the only one. There's a whole lot of others. And see, I believe he was referring to those kind of people. Laurie, you don't do things like that. He's talking about the women who are actively counseling other women not to have children for ideological reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other
that's what
aspect,
he should say.
The other aspect, in addition,
sure, he should have clarified better. I agree.
But
hey, let John Doe talk, man.
Another point that goes into play with what Lorianne was setting forth is because whenever these people try to make sure that the insurance industry covers their expenses, they're trying to use that as a tool to get the low-income people that say it's a burden for them to pay for these things and they need that to be a part of health care. Well, the multinational corporations that are pulling strings with these, you know, Planned Parenthood and whatnot, they keep making money through that and their insurance, because, you know, a lot of these board of directors, multinational corporations have these board of directors, those highfalutin robber barons, Washington establishment people are the directors on those board of directors, and they love to make money every chance they can, and also force the people into situations where they're willing to give up their power in order for the multinational corporation board of directors people to use the government to get more power. And so what happens? Lorianne also is losing out on the fact that her premiums for her health care goes up, because now she's got to help pay for all the low-income people that can't afford abortions on their own to get it covered by their health insurance, and you and I pay for it too. Thank you. Back to you.
not only that. Here's the point that people aren't bringing up about Vance. It's not only the cat lady thing. It's also like he doubled down on it, saying that people without children, their votes should hold less weight. That kid, the people with children, their children should be able to vote with parental supervision, some kind of bullshit like that. And so, therefore,
no.
parents of children's votes have more weight than a person that does not have children. He literally has said that. He has said that in a speech a couple years back.
He clarified that and said that, yeah, he should, like, he and his wife should be able to vote for two because they're voting for their children. And, like, you and I, our vote would only count as one.
Well, I hope that doesn't go anywhere. On that one, I definitely don't agree with him. That one, no, you're going to be too far there, Katie. Nah.
Yeah, that was something started by the Democrats. And they were talking about kids voting early. They were throwing out things like kids voting at 16 because, you know, kids have got skin in the game because, you know, it's their future sometimes that we're voting on. It affects them. And so that's when he brought out this, well, maybe, you know, people with families should be able to vote for their kids. You know, so.
Well, I think the same people that tell us that your brain isn't fully formed until you're 25, I think the same people who say that and you shouldn't cause the crime.
Yep.
These people all over, but they have no self-awareness whatsoever. I swear to God, I never seen nothing like these motherfuckers. Ever.
See, that's one of them corporatist play, because think about it. When you, like Steve Case and all these guys that were a part of Vance's life when he was working in a venture capitalism, when you have a corporation and you have to divvy out shares for the members within the corporation, sometimes it's based on the amount of your actual asset ownership in those shares. So therefore, mm-hmm. if you have multiple dollars, you get multiple shares, even if you're one person. So therefore, it sounds like he's a corporatist, and he's taking that corporatist mindset and trying to apply it into a politics situation for our government. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Oh, before I forget about this, this is something for Joe that I think Joe would like to hear. I think Cinnamon would like this one also. Trump announced today that he's going to establish a presidential commission on assassinations to be headed by Robert F. Kennedy, with the full power to declassify all documents related to JFK, RFK, July 13th, Martin Luther King, and everything else.
Cool.
Good.
Ah, that'll just make the CIA tighten up.
No shit. No shit.
Lord.
I know. I think there's... Everybody should invest in stocks in anybody that makes document shredders because they're going to be pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They'll be busy.
Absolutely.
Better keep an eye on those archives. They better put some Marine guards outside those archives so they're going to be tampered with between now and January the 20th or so.
Okay.
But that's a big deal if he does it. I guess who has got more incentive to find out what happened to their uncle and their father than Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? I can't think of anybody that would have more natural inclination to want to fully investigate that matter.
Who has more incentive to cover it up?
The deep state, as a general rule.
Yep, CIA.
CIA.
Yep.
So that was quite an announcement today. I mean, that was big. Not only was Kennedy's announcement big, because it's going to be looks like it's going to be a tight race. They're going to tell us that Kamala Harris is capable of getting at least 90 million votes because she's such a wonderful candidate, and everybody's so inspired by her. So, you know, it's going to be a tight race. And that announcement of Kennedy was huge, but this thing, putting him on a commission with full declassification authority, man, that's massive.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said towards the beginning of the show, it's coming up on some very interesting times.
We have been there.
We're there.
Now we're just going to do a parade for it.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
You know, and you know,
the JFK thing has got to be investigated soon, because the younger generation don't care. They really don't.
Yeah.
And so they'll never push it. And so once it comes out that it's our government having anything to do with it at all, it needs to come out now.
Yeah, I don't know. If you hang a conspiracy theory on it big enough, I think they just have their curiosity thing. I mean, I'm surprised at the interest in young people of the disappearance of Amelia Earhart. I mean, I'm not saying it's huge, but there's a significant amount of people who are very young who want to know what happened to her, and they've attached conspiracy angles to her disappearance.
Nothing happened. I know. I don't buy that. I know you're
pointing. Yeah, but
I'm
just saying there are people out there that have. So I think John F. Kennedy would have infinitely more pull than Amelia Earhart would.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. They would be interested in it now if we bring it out now. But if it goes down the line, they're just going to be something they're just really not going to care about.
What boggles my mind in respect to these things that are happening like that is that we've got how many people, when you count all the aides and the staffers and stuff working throughout our government, and they're able to keep their mouth shut? I mean, if I was working in those offices and I knew some of this nonsense was going on, I'd be following the lawsuits myself with firsthand direct eyewitness evidence and every other kind of evidence that I could get hold of. Why is it that all these people that are supposed Americans and they take an oath to office, I'm not sure about every position and what they swear to, but how in the world is it that these people are getting away with this kind of corrupt nonsense? I mean, the American people are that stupid, hoodwinked, or bamboozled, mind scammed?
You'd be surprised, John Doe. John Doe, you'd be surprised how many people turn up missing every year and missing or killed or accidents. You'd be surprised the thousands of people across this country, and you always wonder why.
Oh, well, hey, you remember, I think I mentioned this before. I don't know what show it was, but DHS, when it first got started, there was a guy, what was his name? Philip Haney, I believe. And he put out a book. He was getting ready to blow the whistle on some stuff. He put out a book, See Something, Say Nothing. He's kind of the saying in the DHS, I guess, was if you see something, say something, so they can go out and bust the people and take care of that criminal or whatever type of situation. But he said he was trying to be a whistleblower from inside, and he seen something, and he spoke out to say something, and he basically lost his job and about lost all his pension and everything. Well, he decided to write a book about it and got them to clear it, say, it's okay to write the book and stuff. And then all of a sudden they say, he committed suicide. He was getting ready to put out his second book and name names, and they said he committed suicide. But how'd he shoot himself in the back of the head twice?
How many people have said that to me, John Doe? I'm going to end up dead or something, one day, Some people are scared to drive around with me. I've had people say that to me, So it happens every day,
Well, I would have to ask one question, though. I mean, I understand that why you would have hesitancy about saying someone could shoot themselves in the back of the head twice, but, there is such a thing as, it's a well-documented in suicide, there's a hesitancy shot, the person's taking a shot, and for a moment they flinch at actually doing the deed, and they have to follow it up with a second shot. The first shot wounds them slightly because they flinch as they were starting to pull the trigger, and then they do it again, and this time they succeed. It's like an involuntary thing in a few cases. I'm not saying it's universal, and I'm not saying it happened in this particular case. I'm just saying that it does happen from time to time.
But how do you hold your weapon to the back of your own head? Now, I could understand that the side of your head.
Well, you can do that. I mean, I know you can do that. You can do that.
Yeah. But they had a guy in
Springfield, his family and his publishers and everybody that was around him knew that was not true. They knew that was false. He was nowhere going to commit suicide. He was looking forward to his retirement and putting out his second book, which was about 2 weeks out before it was going to be released.
Yeah. That's probably more true than the other. I'm just saying it's not impossible for a suicide to wound themselves before they...
Well, guys, just for the record, I don't have any intention of committing suicide. I have no intention whatsoever. Okay?
Awesome. But, the other question on that one is not being asked. You know, if he committed suicide supposedly 2 weeks from publishing his next book, that means the manuscript is there. Where is it?
Yeah, that's a good
question. Well, they had a guy in Springfield, Missouri that was found hanging on a radio tower with his hands tied behind his back, and they tried to say that was suicide.
Wait a minute, was there an insurance policy involved by any chance?
We'll handle this investigation, sir. Sheriff, you can go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I definitely like to see Robert F. Kennedy in charge. I think that's worth the price of admission alone, getting Trump elected, just to see him appoint Robert F. Kennedy to a commission like that. That alone is worth the price of admission, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I wouldn't need another reason to elect Donald Trump other than that one. Not that I don't have other reasons.
Yeah,
oh, I need more reasons than that. I mean, I do like hearing you say about that, but I still need more reasons than that.
Well, that's enough for me. Although I'm sure, look, like I said, I only want Donald Trump, and I only expect him to try to do 5 or 6 things. That's it. If he does more, great. But if he can do 5 or 6 things, I'll be satisfied with his presidency. I'm expecting him to fix everything in this country. I know he can't do it anyway. But if he can do 5 or 6 things that are within his bailiwick as president of the United States, that'll make me happy. That's good enough for me.
Yep.
Am I on? Can you hear me? Hello.
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 Is it a boy?
Gunslinger.
He speaks.
I hear a beep. Hmm. He got
probably
quiet.
Ask Donnie, since there's only a few minutes left before your switchboard goes down. Donnie, in the chat room, let us know if you want us to unmute you in case you do want to say something after the switchboard goes down. We'll be happy to unmute you.
He just put his hand up, so I just let him in.
All right, perfect. Woo-hoo. I didn't want to forget to do that. I got rusty, you know, after not being able to do my show for a couple of weeks. I got a little rusty on reminding people.
I think that's what they count on. They count on us getting rusty.
Oh,
hello, Donnie.
Boy. We still got Cinnamon on and everybody. Good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll be able to do my show. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about, but I haven't been able to talk about.
Oh, another thing, too, guys, that you may or may not have heard of, Jack Smith says he ain't going to seek expedited hearings in Donald Trump's case. He's pulling an Alvin Bragg, too.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
I'm telling you, man, things are looking up for Trump. Trump is winning all this shit. They understand they overreached. And they should have known it from the beginning.
They did. They were just counting on a bunch of useful idiots letting it happen.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's just the Democrat Party and even the Republicans, that when they push an idea, and it's especially the Democrats, they will push farther than they think they can go, and then back off when they find where the limit is. And it seems like every time they do that, they can go farther and farther and farther. And so I think they just went hog wild crazy on this one, and then they're finding out that, hey, they went too far.
Hey, when does Bannon get out of jail?
When Trump gets in office and he pardons him. Unless his sentence is up before then, I'm not sure. It might be. I don't know how long he was sentenced. I don't think it was for a year. I think it was for a few months.
I think you're right.
Oh, goodness. Mm. Well, we've down to the last 5 minutes of the recorded show. So,
well, we raised a number of issues for discussion, and I think we have a very good basis to continue.
Yep. I think so, too.
No doubt.
Oh, boy, the dog's trying to make his point, too.
Well, tomorrow night's Donnie's show, right?
Right.
Yes, indeed. Where is he? Where is he? Should be here anyway, shouldn't he?
He's on the phone.
I'm here. I'm right here.
Well, say something, man. Don't be shy.
I've been saying something.
I would say forever hold your peace, but damn it, you ain't said much.
Well, I know.
Don't hold your peace a little more.
Hey, Donnie, say something about your show.
Tomorrow night at 9, join the co-hosts, which is Sarge and Bianchi and Lori Ann and John Doe, and they're the co-hosts. I'm the co-host.
Now you're
talking. So there you go. Just join us in Joseph.
Okay, Lori Ann?
Beyond the Mainstream. Yep, Beyond the Mainstream tomorrow night. Donnie's show, you got to be there. My show, Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Haven't been able to do my show for 2 weeks in a row, so I have a ton of stuff to try to cover. So should be good.
It's been a while, and it has been a while. I wrote them, Lori Ann. I haven't heard from Blog Talk yet, but I did write them.
I haven't either.
A scathing little
letter.
Well,
I have.
What did they say?
Four times I heard back from them their canned answer. We're so sorry. We understand the frustration of the issues that you've been having. Our issues have been resolved, and our engineers are monitoring it to ensure that these issues are stay resolved. And then yet, you know, a couple hours later, I'm like, hello, no, issues aren't resolved yet. Yeah, four times I was told over the last 2 weeks that the issues were resolved when they really weren't.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought maybe they'd give you a free month or something.
Well, they should have.
They did.
They did
once
last month. I asked for it for this month. I'm like, you know, since July, I've only been able to do 3 shows out of 7 Sundays so far since the beginning of July. I've only been able to do 3 shows, less than half. I said, you should be giving me a free month this month as well.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I have said, too. You know, and I brought in Vincent on that one, too, because he hasn't done his show in a while, because the last time he tried, he couldn't even get in. So,
aren't you supposed to be able to get in almost any day of the week? So it ain't like you just limited to one show a week.
I told you how they weren't charging me. They weren't charging me, but so much. And then all of a sudden now they want to charge me full price. And I told them, hell no. I said, but it's because you guys are taking a loss now, or some people are complaining. You're not charging me nothing like that. So I won't be doing another show. I'm not paying full price. I can't do a show. They canceled only one show last month. No way. No way, man. I'm not paying full price.
Yeah.
I'm not bending over.
When they started charging, if you joined early, they would charge you, you know, $29. So I joined early, and for the longest time I was paying $29 until, I don't know, it was last year, and all of a sudden it was $39. They broke the little contract with me.
Yep. Yeah, I was paying $19, Donnie. I was paying $19. And then some months they were giving me for good work. Yeah, well, plus they collect royalties off of us, man. You know, we shouldn't be paying nothing. They'd be paying us.
Yeah, we should be paying nothing, yeah.
How in the hell did you get $19?
It's because I don't know. That's what I got to show it to you, screenshot it to you. $19.95, that's what I was paying.
I believe you. I just, wow, that's awesome. How long were you paying $19?
2 years.
God dang.
Yeah.
That's
maybe good. Maybe we should all demand that.
Yeah.
Until they get their act together and stop messing us up, and my studio just went down. So,
yeah. Well, at least maybe, you know, pump you up to 3 hours, whatever the goal plan, whatever in the hell it is. Give you something.
They want to charge you. Yeah, that's dead wrong, Donnie. They want to charge you full price, especially all the viewers you get, man. No way, man. You should be getting royalties off of that.
Yeah.
Well, we finally rolled over to 27,400 and I think 400 and something on X.
Wow.
We got about 600 people in the last few days. I mean, I don't know what happened. I have no idea why, but man, they were everybody started following it. I don't know why. I'll take it.
Hey, that's what I was just going to say. Don't complain. Just take it.
I should be up to. I was up to 30. I think it was 34,000 or 33,000 when the other regime had Twitter, and they just raked me all the way down to 13,000. They just kept taking 5,000, you know, one day and 3,000 the next, and 6,000 until I had 13,000 all of a sudden.
Hey, Donnie C.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you don't have a problem with me going to websites and inviting people like Robert Kennedy Jr. to come on your show, do you?
No, I don't have no problem.
And I'm sure all the staffers, the people
to come
that don't receive.
Yeah, mine too.
I'm sure all the staffers at these organizations that read the emails and what we send, they probably share them with each other and then check out the shows before they actually go talk to him to see if he'll go on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They probably roll up a joint and spread it around and start reading all of our letters and just get a big laugh out of it and, you know. Make a big party out of it.
Well, Donnie, I'll tell you one thing. Your president of the UAW should have worn some nice suits, man.
Yeah. I'm glad he's enjoying his reign because he sure as hell won't win the next election. There's more people complaining about him because we all voted for him because we had to get the other guy out because he was there when he was there in office when they were stealing everything, and he just didn't get caught. So we threw him out and put this idiot in, and we found out he's a damn communist, probably about, you know, he was on our show 3 times. We interviewed him, and everybody talked to him and asked him questions, and you never would have guessed this crap. I mean, he jumped right on the Harris train.
What's his name?
Without even knowing about anything about her.
Is it Swain? Is his name Swain?
No. Fain, with an F. Fain.
Oh, isn't he the guy that spoke at the Republican National Convention?
No.
That would have been
sweet as hell if he would have, but he didn't. No, that was that was Teamsters.
Okay, I got it mixed up in, right, okay.
Yeah, which was I thought was really cool, really awesome.
Well, they acknowledge that they're going to vote for Trump, even though I think the leadership endorsed Harris. But Swain said that the rank and file is going to be voting mainly for Trump.
Yeah.
You said his name was Inkster.
What's that?
You said his name was Inkster.
Inkster?
Yeah, you just said something about his name. I thought it said Inkster.
No, then you said Fain. F-A-I-N.
Fain. F-A-I-N.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, No, I tell you what, I don't just feel like I said, Sarge, and guys, I don't see the numbers, man. They throw the elections. I mean, they got the numbers. Even if they don't throw it, they got the numbers. What, 25 million extra people came across that border? You know, if they let them people vote, how can Trump win? How can he?
Well, answer, he can't if they do. The question is, will there be enough election integrity laws and procedures in place to prevent them from voting? And that is an open question. I don't know, Joe. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Strategically, I hope, you know, there's, I know there's think tanks out there fighting it, you know, and, you know, monitoring it. I get emails all the time asking me to do it, you know, check up on this, do this. I'm like, you know, I ain't got time. You know, I'm already booked up doing everything.
Well, I know what you mean, man, but it's an either-or question.
How do we know that they're all voting Democrat?
Are you kidding?
I think it's safe
to say a vast majority of those that vote will vote for the Democrats because they have them to thank for them being here in the first place. Now, that might be a few generations from now. That might not be true in a couple of generations. That's not going to do any good in this election cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget, they know that Trump said that he's going to try to throw them all out.
Yeah.
They're not going to vote for him.
Hell no. They're not going to vote for Trump. Not this time around. When they get some wherewithal and they begin to get a little taste of, because, you know, a lot of them are entrepreneurs. I mean, I know a lot of them came here to sponge off the land, but there's still a lot, millions of them, who did come here to work hard, and they do work hard. And once those people get a little taste of the good life and see the opportunities they got here they didn't have anywhere else, they're not going to keep voting for the same kind of people who make ruin the shit like it is in Venezuela. But that's going to take a while. It ain't going to happen right away.
Look what the hell they're getting from us. They're getting a free iPhone. They're getting free lodging, free medical, free food, free money. Well, they're not going nowhere. And they're not going to vote for no Republican.
Right.
Not now. Not until they start making money and becoming entrepreneurs.
Remember, they don't talk to people like us. Remember, they're hanging out in neighborhoods where all people hate, you know, you know, you got to remember the environment they're in. You know, see, we talk to each other. We talk to people like us mainly. And so we're in a different pack, a different crowd, you know. I mean, so they're in a different crowd also. They don't get the information we get.
And of course not. They're very cloistered. I mean, you know, they get... They got relatively few sources of information. Oh, they probably got more now than they had back in their hometown from where they come from. But still, it's not enough. And you know the Democrats doing it down just to filter all of it in the manner they want it to be filtered in.
Yeah.
True.
Have you ever heard of Samuel Rodriguez?
No.
He's a pastor here in America, and he oversees some kind of United whatever Hispanic evangelist organization, and he says that a lot of these Spanish or these Mexican affiliated type people that are coming across the board, they have very very religious base, but anyway, somehow he's reaching a lot of them and they're not going to vote Democrat from what I understand, but that's a small percentage probably of all the type of people that come across.
I think the big picture. Yeah.
This is kind of like an oxymoron here, huh? You Google my name, right? Joseph Gibson, NC Courts, right? The first thing that comes up, Gibson versus Parnell, now my new case. But right underneath that, there's the new story. Neo-Nazi with felony convictions cleared to remain on GOP ballot. So I'm suing because of that. So, right?
Mm.
That's kind of like a clincher right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That reminds me of that Reverend was on the show last night, Sarge.
Oh, shit, don't bring that guy up again. God, that guy was a true believer zombie. I mean, his mind literally is just like a furnace door. He just open it up and shove in shit, shove in talking points, and he just blindly regurgitates them.
Yeah, that guy was he's amazing how close-minded he is. And Pianchi, you got pissed off and left.
What show was this?
I ain't heard Pianchi blow up like that in a mini moon. Pianchi just totally blew it. He just lost it. I can't put up with this shit no more. Well, that's right, man.
Soldier Pianchi, you left your position and you abandoned your duty.
That's right.
God damn right.
I couldn't stand no more of that.
I think Brother Piake had a temporary case of post-traumatic stress syndrome. I think that's every soldier gets a little battle fatigue every now and then.
Piake said, "I had enough of this clown show."
Man, and that guy, man.
What was the name of it?
Sister Inez's show.
Do it radio.
Yeah, let's do it radio. Yeah,
let's do it. Oh, okay.
Good and
show.
I'm telling you, that guy.
He is a
that guy.
Was I like Ms. Inez. She's good people.
Well, I like her too, but that Reverend.
Oh, she is. She's a decent woman.
Like
yeah. She's
yeah,
really looking for
Reverend
answers.
Reverend Ron.
Yeah, but she's really looking for answers to questions that she doesn't know the answer to. She's genuinely seeking the truth that she can understand it. And I don't think she really understands the depth of depravity in a lot of people who are completely opposed to the truth or fact getting out to anybody who is not in league with their sentiments. I don't think she quite appreciates it.
Yeah.
And that guy epitomizes it, man. I mean, good God. When you corner him on one thing like a little Weasley, he slithers on to something else.
Or in what you originally asked, or that he originally proposed.
Yeah, he'll say something, and when you show him how full of shit he is, he changes the subject immediately. He don't stand to defend none of his positions. He's a typical demon rat. They don't really stand to defend their positions. They're hit and runners. They hit and run.
Oh, yeah, and it was just like, I knew the second that the word started coming out about that the praise for Kamala, you know, Kamala's going to be the best president and all this stuff. And it's like, uh-oh, here we go. I'm just waiting for it.
And they got the nerve to make fun of us. They got the nerve to make fun of us for religious faith. That is a faith in things unseen. She has given no indication of any presidential competence, none whatsoever. But he's got faith, almost religiously, that she will exhibit it at some time in the future. Pure faith.
Oh, God, they put the whole case up there. Oh, my God, they put it all up there, the whole thing, my whole complaint and everything. Damn, they usually don't do that. I wonder why they're doing that. They don't put the complaint up there.
They did.
Yeah, I know. Damn, I would have did a better draft then if I would have known that. Damn, that's not my best work. Well, I got to run up there, I guess.
Iron sharpens iron, Joe. You'll be better next time.
Yeah, well, they're going to try for summary judgment. I know they will. So I got to start working on that opposition summary judgment. They always do in federal court.
Hey, where's Boyd at? I haven't heard from him in a little.